Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Wolfgang Wardog will be joining us from the EU today. He is the head of the Health Council of the Council of Europe, the one criminally investigating the big pharma companies. That is an extremely important interview coming up. It's not enough to expose the hoax of the swine flu as a dangerous injection and a fraud, and that the flu wasn't even dangerous compared to the regular flu. We must expose the criminality and bring them to justice so they won't engage in other dangerous hoaxes in the future. Judge Andrew Napolitano will be joining us coming up in the next segment to talk about a host of key issues. And then Freeway Ricky Ross. We interviewed him once from prison, over the phone from prison. He'll be live with us out of prison, one of the biggest cocaine dealers in U.S. history, selling drugs for the Central Intelligence Agency. So that is coming up in the third hour. Kevin Booth will also be popping in with us with his new film, How Weed Won the West, Exposing Government Drug Dealing and How the Drug War Works. And also Dr. Doug Rocky, who wrote the book for the Pentagon on DU and how deadly it was in the aftermath for our troops and the Iraqis, the Serbs, and others dying from it. That is coming up in the last hour today. So you definitely want to stay with us throughout the full 4 hours. Andrew Napolitano, Wolfgang Wardog, Ricky Ross, Dr. Doug Rocky, and others, ladies and gentlemen. Totally jam-packed radio broadcast today. And we have your Twitter questions coming in for all of those guests. Twitter.com/RealAlexJones. Those are pouring in. On the news front, there is no doubt the government's getting ready to stage a provocateur new terror attacks. And the CIA, in fact, I noticed this wasn't my stat, guys. It's the Kurt Nemo's top story on Infowars.com. CIA says Al-Qaeda to attack in the next 3 to 6 months. I need that. Thank you. So much information. And I wanted to dovetail that with top neocons saying Obama should save presidency by attacking Iran. That is a PrisonPlanet.com story. And I wanted to dovetail that further with this story from August 10, 2007, the Philadelphia Daily News column, pitching for more dead Americans, neocon fetish. The Ward Churchill of the demented right wing has a death wish for terror in order to unite the country. Remember what he said when the columnist called for another 9/11 and how great it was for their agenda? We have all these Pentagon reports. We have the CIA. We have neocons currently saying we need new wars, new attacks to get our agenda through. They are right out in the open with what their agenda is and what they're doing, and they think you're so stupid that they're going to be able to get away with this. So we're going to be talking about that throughout the broadcast today. Also, another devastatingly powerful report, and we directly have the U.S. support for arms trade treaty and Obamasignal.com from the National Gun Rights Blog. U.S. agrees to timetable for U.N. gun ban. And remember Newsmax with the headline, U.S. hands control of Internet over to United Nations. Everything is being handed over. They tried to officially, under treaty, hand over all of our industry and energy to the UN 2 months ago in Copenhagen. They're still moving forward to attack the states at that level. We'll talk about it all coming up, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side of this quick break. And we're going to be talking to Judge Andrew Napolitano live. It is the third day, Wednesday, the 3rd of February, 2010. Stay with us.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
60 Minutes is Judge Andrew P. Napolitano. And, of course, he hosts his own TV show on the Fox Business Channel. He has his own syndicated radio broadcast. He does Freedom Watch as well. And I think he's the best person out there, period, on national television. In fact, he's the only person that I agree with almost 100%. And he's a constitutional lawyer, judge, of course, award-winning researcher, best-selling author. And we are very, very honored to have him on. He's the author of Constitutional Chaos, What Happens When the Government Breaks Its Own Laws, New York Times bestseller, The Constitution in Exile, How the Federal Government Has Seized Power by Rewriting the Supreme Law of the Land, and A Nation of Sheep. He's got a new book coming out, but he's with us until the bottom of the hour, so let's move quickly. Judge, I've got my list of rapid-fire questions, but
I am ready for you, and thank you for that very generous introduction, my friend.
Well, the truth is veritas and stands on its own. So the truth is the truth, not an introduction, just the truth. Judge, but before I get into my questions, what is most important on your radar?
What's important on my radar is fidelity to the Constitution. It's the supreme law of the land, and everybody in the government has taken an oath to uphold it. Yet we see the political maneuverings and utter disregard of the Constitution with everything from bailouts, which aren't authorized, with everything from regulating contracts that banks can enter into and salaries that can pay their executives, which aren't authorized, to trying people before military tribunals because we hate the person or we hate the manner in which they attempted to commit their crime. None of that is authorized. My greatest fear is that lack of fidelity to the Constitution will expose innocent people to the wrath of the government in ways that the founders could never have imagined. But I must tell you, very, very few presidents and very, very few Congresses, from the first one to the present one, have been utterly faithful to the Constitution. They make their living by finding ways around it.
Well, how do you hold somebody for 5 to 7 years, admittedly torture them and threaten their families, and then use that evidence in trials? I mean, America is over if we allow this to happen. The precedent is then set for the end of habeas corpus and everything else that protects
Absolutely.
Us.
You're 100% on the mark. If the government can do that, and the government has done it and gotten away with it. I mean, the government arrested Jose Padilla at O'Hare Airport because of a conversation he had in Pakistan. Mr. Padilla was born in Brooklyn, New York. His birth records are better known than the birth records of the present president of the United States, even though this happened under the Bush years. He was kept in solitary confinement and tortured for 4 years without any communication with anybody from the outside, not even the guards who fed him his meals and escorted him to the bathroom. And then when the Supreme Court was about to say you can't do that, they suddenly sprung him from that solitary confinement with no charges, put him in a regular federal jail, charged him with a bogus crime, and persuaded a jury to convict him, and claimed they didn't use any of the evidence that he spilled under torture against him. They did this to an American citizen because of a conversation he had on a trip to Pakistan. Not because he tried to shoot anybody, not because he tried to explode a bomb, not because he had bomb-making materials with him, but because he landed at O'Hare Airport within a few hours of the conversation. If they could do that to him, they could do it to anybody.
And if they could do it to him, they could do it to anybody.
So these are my fears, Alex, and I am seriously fearful of this. The Bush administration showed less fidelity to the Constitution than any administration since Abraham Lincoln. This administration is picking up exactly where Bush left off, is doing it with less in-your-face. There is no Dick Cheney in this administration who's boasting about torture, who's boasting about deficits, who's boasting about locking people up and throwing away the key. But they're doing the very same thing.
Well, Judge, Hitler targeted unpopular groups to set the precedent, but in the end, the target was the German people and surrounding nations.
Agreed.
And expanding on this, if we allow torture to be admissible evidence, then North Vietnam was good in torturing our soldiers and airmen into lying, and North Korea was good, and the Soviets were good. And what we know from the MIAC and Homeland Security reports that we got and released to the public in 2009. What we know is the real architecture of Homeland Security and NORTHCOM is pointed at red-blooded conservatives, libertarians, gun owners, returning veterans. And so what a perfect way to fool middle America and conservatives into going along with tyranny and secret arrest and rendition and torture than saying it's for men that don't look like us from foreign countries to set that precedent, when really the entire howitzer of tyranny is really focused and pointed at America.
Well, of course. I mean, war is the health of the state, and fear is what gets us into war. My new book is called Lies the Government Told You. It comes out next month. Myth, Power, and Deception in American History. Question: would FDR have been reelected in 1944 if the public knew he caused Pearl Harbor? Not looked the other way, but caused it to happen? Question: would George W. Bush have been reelected in 2004 if the public knew he made up the reasons for invading Iraq, that he was torturing people and spying on Americans and lying about it? Question: would LBJ have defeated Barry Goldwater? Would he have successfully portrayed himself as the peace candidate if the public had secretly known, and the public knew that he had secretly made up the Gulf of Tonkin incident and was secretly planning to vamp up the Vietnam War? Bigger question: why did all these presidents want war? Because people are afraid in wartime, and they will surrender their liberties, and they will look the other way when agents of the government come for their neighbors. They will only complain when agents of the government come for them.
Shifting gears to the pretext for war, we have a PrisonPlanet.com article by Steve Watson and top neoconservative Daniel Pipes, writing for National Review, says Obama should save presidency by attacking Iran and invoking a crisis the level of 9/11. That reminds me of the Philadelphia Daily News article titled, "One Month from the Anniversary, I'm Thinking of Another 9/11 Would Help America." I mean, these guys are right out in the open saying they want new wars, and the CIA is saying we will be hit by al-Qaeda in the next 3 to 6 months, and then dovetailing that, Judge, I want your take on this. Kurt Haskell, his wife, and a bunch of other witnesses went public and said a smart-dressed man got the underwear bomber in Amsterdam on the plane. And the State Department came out last Wednesday, and it's in DetroitNews.com, and said, yes, we let him on to track him as al-Qaeda. And there was another man on the plane, supposedly with a bomb now. The FBI's backtracked on that, but it's buried in an ABC News report. It's not getting the traction it needs. This looks like an attempt at provocateur or let the terrorist attack us as a pretext so Obama can pose as a savior.
Well, of course it is. And all of this stuff came out, not that the State Department let him on the plane, but that the FBI has been entered into some kind of an agreement with his family so that he can speak with the FBI, and that we are in danger of another 9/11. In fact, these characters told a Senate committee was absolutely certain that it was going to happen. I don't know how they could be certain about anything. All this comes out at a time when the president's polls are low, when the Democrats are losing ground, and I hold no water for the Republicans because they're virtually all big government statists, Ron Paul and a dozen or so in the House are the exceptions to the rule. But when the president needs shoring up is when they decide they want to scare us. And what would scare us more than the director of the FBI, the director of Central Intelligence, and the director of National Intelligence all answering yes, yes, yes to the question, are we certain to be attacked again? No specifics, no examples, no evidence, just it's going to happen. So be afraid. Be very afraid. And P.S., give us your freedoms so that we can keep you safe. That's what will come next.
And let's go back. I remember in 2002, 2003, and then even Ari Fleischer, White House press secretary, bizarrely, in a press conference said, we're issuing these for political gain, I guess to try to cover his hind end. But Ridge came out, as you know, in a best-selling book last year, the former head of Homeland Security, and said, we issued these for political effect under the Patriot Act. Issuing a fake terror threat is an act of terrorism itself.
Absolutely. Absolutely, because it is lying to the American public. And when the government lies to us and we rely on that false information, we make poor choices because we don't know the truth. We vote for presidents who tricked us, like FDR, George Bush, and LBJ. They end up with more power. They start destructive wars and sap our freedoms. It's the same pattern over and over and over again.
And with Obama stalling on every front, with his Copenhagen greenhouse gas tax, open world government being announced, failing, the flu hoax coming out, criminal investigations in Europe and England, with, you know, the heads of the health department, the EU, saying it was a payoff fraud to the health heads. He's coming on next hour. With all of this coming out, with his big tax increases in trouble, his government seizure of health care in trouble because it's so illegal, the states lining up to fight it, the attorney generals, the federal and state courts, with their entire agenda, his youth corps falling apart, his lowest approval rating of any president in history 1 year in, with the fastest decline accelerating towards, you know, something that looks Nixonian in 74, he is going to need a crisis. And we've got neocons and establishment liberals saying, attack Iran to get you dug out of this. I mean, these guys are right out in the open, Judge. Where do you see Obama going?
Starting a war, picking a fight, creating a crisis so that we will unite behind him.
Hounded by debt collectors with phone calls and letters? Thinking of calling a debt relief company? Don't. Greedy lawyers and debt companies charge thousands. Why pay when you can get their solution absolutely free with New York Times best-selling author Herb Kay's number one debt secret, the how-to on stopping the calls without paying the debt companies. Yes, free for a very limited time. Here's Herb Kay.
Don't get ripped off by credit repair companies when I can give you the information you need to do it yourself for free.
Herb K was right. His free information helped me stop the calls and settle my debt.
What have you got to lose? Stop the calls now, get out of debt, and have more money. Get Herb K's number one debt secret absolutely free now. Call 888-352-7726. That's 888-352-7726. 888-352-7726.
Austin is coming out with a $2.6 billion tax in the first 3 years on all human activity, natural gas, oil, you name it, in violation of state and federal law. They can't get the Senate to pass it, so they're just doing it. We have Obama saying he will now sign the United Nations Small Arms Treaty, which National Gun Rights Blog headline, U.S. agrees to timetable for gun ban. So my point is, on every front, he can't get the Senate to say carbon dioxide is a deadly poison, so he says the EPA will just do it. He's taking over the cities.
Right.
He's coming after our guns through treaty. What do we do to fight this?
Well, under the Constitution, as you know, and as most people listening to us now know, Alex, a treaty is meaningless until it's enacted by two-thirds of the Senate. I doubt that the president could get two-thirds of the Senate to enact a treaty that would interfere.
But then he orders the bureaucracy to do it.
Pardon me?
But then he just orders the bureaucracy to do it.
Well, if he orders the bureaucracy to follow a treaty that has not been enacted, then the first person who is harmed by behavior of a bureaucrat, say it's you or me with a lawful weapon being seized by a federal agent because the bureaucracy has told the agent to do it, and he claims he's just doing his job, then we would have to challenge this in court. And hopefully we would find judges that are faithful to the Constitution. But he cannot create law on his own. He wishes he could. And treaties basically create law, which is why, A, they require a two-thirds vote of the Constitution, and B, they cannot interfere with any fundamental liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. And thanks to a great opinion called Heller, H-E-L-L-E-R, written by Justice Antonin Scalia last year, we now know that the right to keep and bear arms is a fundamental, read, natural right, like the right to defend yourself in a fight in the streets, and the government can't take that right away, though we know they will try. You've said this more effectively than anybody else on air, Alex. The first thing a tyrant does is to disarm the citizenry, because they fear more than anything else an armed citizenry.
And I guess you have the states come down on cities that are unconstitutionally going along with this as well.
Well, That's not going to happen in New York or in Illinois, where, as you say, New York City and Chicago have virtually banned guns in utter disregard for the Heller decision.
They're trying to police other states and cities.
Well, they're about to get their comeuppance. I can tell you that it is my opinion that the Supreme Court agreed to hear two cases from a federal appeals court in New York City and from a federal appeals court in Chicago in order to smack them down and says Heller, and to tell them that Heller is the law. And the Second Amendment not only says the feds can't interfere with your right to keep and bear arms, but no government can interfere with your right to keep and bear arms. Look, Alex, in my opinion, gun registration laws are unconstitutional. The government has no more right to know that I own a gun than it does to know that I own a pair of shoes.
All right, moving quickly, absolutely. I have a question here from one of our Twitter people. It says, is nullification a workable solution for the overreaching Fed, or will it take secession?
I think it will take nullification by a good number of states before the federal government takes note. If a single state nullifies the federal government, like Virginia is on the verge of enacting a statute which would make it a crime in Virginia to follow federal health care law, that, of course, will create a conflict between state and federal. A federal judge will probably rule for the feds. But if many, many other states did the same thing, the Congress would fear that many states could gang up on it in a constitutional
amendment. And we are on that road. So you agree with many listeners that one of the key battlegrounds is getting our states back. That's the Achilles heel of this globalist system.
Absolutely.
Okay, we've only got a minute and a half left. Where do you see America going? We know the Republicans, people like Brown, getting in Massachusetts. It's a good message to Obama to back off. The problem is these Republicans are just as bad once they get in, but it took 8 years to wake up to Bush or 7 years. It took a year to wake up to Obama. The system knows the people aren't putting up with the bait and switch. What happens when Republicans get in and continue to sell us out to the foreign banks? Do we go into revolution?
I don't think we go into revolution, but I have spoken to enough Tea Parties to know that they are about 90% filled with freedom lovers who reject the Republican Party as much as they do the Democratic Party.
Amen.
It is that type of rejection that will save us. That's the only thing we can do peacefully.
Well, I'm for a peaceful revolution of InfoWar. Calling into talk radio, websites, banner hangs. We are the majority. If we just don't shut up and we have natural law and truth on our side, there's no way these criminals in government can get away with it.
I agree with you. And you, my friend, are doing more than anybody I know. I'm trying to keep up with you to educate the public in the dangers of too much government. And guess what? The message is getting through, Alex.
God bless you. I look forward to having you in studio in the near future. Judge, give us your website.
JudgeMap.com is the best way to find all my stuff.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, Judge.
Thank you, Alex.
God bless you. Take care. My websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Judge Andrew Napolitano. Coming up in the next hour from France at the EU. Oh, he went back from France to Germany today. He's back in Germany today. He's the head of health at the Council of Europe, the head of the 40-plus member board representing the nations, calling for criminal investigations. International hearings begin on falsified swine flu pandemic. That's the article from a week ago. And now they've had the hearings. The Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, a 47-nation body encompassing democratic elected members of the parliament, has begun hearings to investigate whether the H1N1 swine flu pandemic was falsified or exaggerated in an attempt to profit for vaccine makers. And writing in one of the reports is Wolfgang Wodarg. In order, this is quoting, to promote their patented drugs and vaccines against flu, pharmacological companies influenced scientists and official agencies responsible for public health standards to alarm governments worldwide and make them squander tight health resources for inefficient vaccine strategies and needlessly expose millions of healthy people to risk of an unknown amount of side effects of insufficiently tested vaccines. The bird flu campaign of 2006 combined with the swine flu campaign to have seemed to have caused a great deal of damage not only to some vaccinated patients and the public health budgets, but to the credibility and accountability of important international health agencies, wrote Dr. Woodard. So he is joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Who's scientist? Swine flu pandemic was completely exaggerated. Another InfoWars.net headline, Steve Watson, international inquiry, here's evidence. Base was weak. And charges of collusion with drug companies. That is coming up with Wolfgang Woodard later in the broadcast. Then Ricky Ross was sentenced to life imprisonment after being convicted of trying to purchase more than 100 kilograms of cocaine from a federal agent. He's one of the biggest CIA contracted drug dealers in history and got set up by them when they were done with him. And, of course, that was in Gary Webb's Pulitzer Prize-winning report for the San Jose Mercury News. They killed him. He was writing another book that vindicated everything they'd reported. And the Dr. Doug Rocky, depleted uranium expert, in the last hour today. You definitely don't want to miss any of this. During the break, I was talking to Judge Andrew Napolitano. He did not know about Detroit News and the State Department saying, yes, we ordered them to let this guy get on the plane because we were tracking Al-Qaeda. Oh, they're always tracking them. Oh, we ordered the State Department to let Muhammad Atta and others in 2000. Well, we got Springman on the head of the visa section of the embassy next week. They ordered him to let him in, saying, oh, well, their Al-Qaeda designation is a CIA cover. It's always the same. And then who gets to lose their freedoms? Who gets targeted by all this police state? You and I. That's who gets targeted by it, ladies and gentlemen. We cover such a wide range of incredibly important issues and dynamic stories that are constantly changing and evolving, that routinely I will cover a bombshell issue, but it just gets mixed in with all the other incredibly important issues, though it's even more important. And the fact is, if you study politics and you study the geopolitical strategies used by the Anglo-American establishment, and that means, that doesn't mean white people. People always get emails saying, why are you saying Anglos are bad? It's a geographic designation in a geopolitical system. England and the U.S. are known as the Anglo-American power axis. Okay, I'm talking about these rich nations run by the bankers, okay? And we know what their strategies are in the past. We know what their current strategies are. And we know what they are currently doing. They are openly and publicly on a monthly basis, bare minimum. More often than that, I miss most of it. There's no way to keep track of all this, ladies and gentlemen. Openly saying they want to enslave the people of Europe, England, and the U.S., that they use terror as a pretext to enslave us, their milk cows. We are the target. They openly state they want to launch new wars to expand their empire and to distract the public from the trillions they've stolen, from the banker bailout robbery, from all the crimes being committed. The public is now learning about all these secretive private trust that the trillions were put through by Geithner, Bernanke, Paulson, and others. And it's all illegal on its face. That's in my stack. Giving themselves waivers to give themselves hundreds of millions of dollars apiece is absolutely illegal. Ordering the Federal Reserve, ordering the federal controllers of AIG when the government took it over to not file and to not tell the public or the media who AIG was giving the money to is illegal on its face. And then the debate starts up. Well, did Geithner know? And then it comes out, yes, he indeed did know in the emails, as the New York Fed, that his lawyers were ordering the federal regulators to do this, which is backwards to have the private Fed telling them what to do, but that's how it's set up. Okay, why aren't the lawyers that wrote the emails under Geithner being indicted? You know, they'll roll over
and expose Geithner if that happens. But we don't need them to roll over. Geithner's been on TV more times than I can even keep track of. You've all seen him saying, we won't tell you where the money went. It's our policy to make it secret. So it's a lie out in the open. So what are they going to do? Well, I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to launch new wars, and they are going to stage terror attacks. And there's no doubt the underwear bomber was that. That's been proven without a shadow of a doubt. There is no doubt. And now I just put Napolitano onto it. I'm sure he'll be covering him the next few days. He was unaware of the fact that the State Department even admits that, oh, well, we let him get on the plane. We protected him. And yeah, we lied about the second man on board the plane and the bomb that was supposedly found. And we lied about Haskell, and now he's been proven right. And yeah, somebody was videotaping him. They are clearly playing the terror card and the war card right now. What are we going to do about this? We had better get the word out on this at the grassroots now. This is the number one issue. Just like I told you, we need to target all firepower on the Copenhagen fraud and the climate gate, knowing that would then blow up sky high, and there's no need to spend all our time on that now because two new scandals came out today dwarfing climate gate emails. I mean, it's just, it's like bombing an aircraft carrier and hitting the magazine where all the munitions are. You just better get back. You don't need to pump any more rounds into that dead horse. At the international level, at least until later this year when they try again in, what, 7-8 months in Mexico City. Now it's the local fight. But see, on the flu fraud, on the banker takeover fraud, on the new war they want with Iran and Yemen and Pakistan, all of their frauds, their healthcare fraud, their new banker robbery that they call a jobs bill, and congressmen are on record saying it's not a jobs bill, it's another banker bailout, which isn't a bailout. It's lies within lies within lies within lies within hoaxes within frauds within spin within scams within more lies. Their entire agenda is in flames right now. If this is allowed to continue, the New World Order is crippled. They're hurt right now. It's kind of like they got gangrene in one of their legs. And if they don't stage a terror attack, which is basically the penicillin, and save that leg, they're going to have to cut it off and be seriously crippled. It may even kill them. It may politically rot their whole body. It could even be too late. But people have this foregone conclusion that freedom can't win and that liberty is impossible. No, that's mind control. That's a foregone conclusion implanted in your brain. And why am I the number one person fighting the New World Order, as you heard Napolitano say earlier? The number one person, because I understand history and we can win. And that's why I'm the number one target of COINTELPRO, disinfo, hoaxes, propaganda, lies. So anytime you see me being attacked, you better research it fully, because you're always going to find out it's a lie or a fraud. Or you will hear me come out and say I was wrong, which is very rare. I can't spend my time responding to lies. I can't spend my time when Dean Haglund here, who's a great guy, and says, oh, well, you're owned by ABC, aren't you? Just a total lie. But I can't spend my time countering it. And even if I do, it doesn't matter. So regardless, folks, you need to take action against tyranny and not be distracted by the continued, sustained, organized attacks on myself. I am not a Scientologist. I am not, nothing wrong with it, but I'm not Catholic. I'm not Jewish. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm not. We are not owned by ABC. We have leased 3 different satellites over the years. That's what anybody on talk radio, if you try to go start a show about dirt buggy racing around the country and you want to syndicate it, there's one way to do it, and that's to rent a Jones, a Clear Channel, or an ABC, and it's not even ABC now, it's something else. The point is, that's how disinfo works. But let's just say this is an ABC radio show. It's not. Okay, what are you going to do about the fact they want to stage new terror attacks and go to war with Iran? What are you going to do about them taking over your cities to implement around Congress the carbon tax? What are you going to do about joblessness rates exploding? What are you going to do about them attempting to have forced inoculations around the country? You better fight it and stand up and go against it. Because we've got a chance of winning, ladies and gentlemen. But it's not just me that gets attacked. It's anybody who's real and who effectively is actually exposing the system and hurting it is going to have hit pieces written about them from above and below, from the fake grassroots right up to the top. That's the badge of honor. That's the signature, the battle wounds on my war helmet and on my breastplate. The fact that I've got a dented war helmet on and the fact that my sword has got notches in it and is more of a club these days is the signature of the bona fide, because they don't want you to know there's real patriots or real heroes. They don't want you to know, because you will then envision yourself as that and you will become the leaders that you were meant to be. So I will tell you all right here today that if you commit to the fight against tyranny and take action, we will defeat these people. But I will tell you here today without a shadow of a doubt, just as I told you 6 months before, 2 months before, a week before, and on the day of 9/11, that they were going to stage an attack on the World Trade Center and blame it on their CIA asset, Osama bin Laden. I have only issued two separate alerts after this, when they were clearly in the preparatory phase, getting the public ready for staged terror attacks. 2004 and 2007. Remember when Cheney told U.S. News and World Report a U.S. city will be nuked? They had Tommy Franks on the payroll running around saying, one more attack, we get a military dictatorship to keep you safe. And I told you that was a government paid for op, and it came out he was on the payroll to say that. They are trying to prepare you. But because we got the word out, and because 9/11 Truth wounded the dragon and exposed false flag terror and the false flag paradigm and the inside job, self-inflicted wound, Reichstag paradigm, the fake terror, stage terror paradigm, because you got the word out. Because We Are Change and 9/11 Truth took the heat and went up against the COINTELPRO. And because I went up against them, now the general public knows about it, and it's very hard for the enemy to do it. But all their major pundits are saying, we need a new crisis, we need a new war, and the terrors are coming, and the CIA says it's going to happen. They say we're going to be hit within 3 to 6 months, and I'm going to be breaking this down in the next segment. Remember all the COINTELPRO that We Are Change New York went through. Every time they went to public events, they got arrested on the street. They got arrested going to press conferences. We had to raise money for Luke, send them more cameras. Remember Jeremy Tallis, that's his official name. German Tallis is his nickname. Out of a dark corner outside a bookstore where Laura Bush was speaking, a man comes running out with a little girl on a wheelchair and begins ramming it into him, screaming, don't attack my daughter, don't attack my daughter. And I went on air and I defended Tallis. I defended Luke. I exposed that was a fraud. You, my listeners, raised them the money for the lawyer, part of it. And they went to court, even though he was facing a decade in prison under fake charges, and made it come out on stand, and the Secret Service admit that they actually attacked him. And boy, did I get a lot of heat. Alex, you're sticking up for somebody who attacked a girl in a wheelchair. And a lot of patriots bought the PSYOP, ladies and gentlemen. And there's so many other examples of this. But in the end, the New York Post had to print a full retraction. It was all a hoax. They're masters of deception. They're masters of, like, Michelle Malkin sitting behind me screaming, kill Michelle Malkin, and saying I had said that, but the truth came out. And the truth comes out when I go to events when mentally ill people or provocateurs or whatever run up and stage a distraction and then blame me for what they've done. That comes out in the end, because the truth always comes out. The truth is incontrovertible, and God is on our side, and we are winning. And no matter whatever happens to Alex Jones, as we go into stormier and stormier waters, the truth has been laid. The track has been laid. It's out there, and the people are discovering it. And we know their strategy, and they are green-lighting staged terror attacks right now. And if we get the word out about the underwear bomber, about the Gulf of Tonkin, about all these other events, when they stage it, it is going to blow up in their face. And it won't take 3 or 4 years to expose it like 9/11 did. It's going to happen very, very quickly. I'm going to come back and break down the details of this on the other side. But realize, the national media attacks 9/11 truth as the number one enemy because we are their enemy. We have exposed their favorite trick, and they absolutely hate us. And they've got their operatives crawling all over us.
There's a man going around taking names. And he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
When the man
comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen.
In each sip and in each
Here's our article from December 27th, so 2 days after the underwear bomber, now completely proven to be absolutely accurate. Government allowed plane bomber to attempt attack. And now it's all come out. Just like we told you, the UN was going to announce they want to censor, tax, and regulate and make you get a license to be on the internet. Now they've gone public with it, and Time Magazine's calling for it. That's coming up later. I told you, by the 27th, when I went live on that Sunday after the underwear bombing after Christmas, I said they're putting the naked body scanners in, and next they're going to say people have breast implants and bombs in their stomachs like drug mules, and they're going to try to chest x-ray. They say you shouldn't get more than 5 of those in your life. Everyone when they fly. Oh, London Guardian, CBS News, Al-Qaeda bombers learn from drug smugglers. New technique of storing bomb materials inside body cavity nearly kills a Saudi prince. Here's another one, WorldNet Daily, MI5 hunting breast implants of death. Authorities alarmed by possibility of surgically placed bombs. That's yesterday, WorldNet Daily. See, now you're going to have to be fully x-rayed, not just naked body scanned. And next, Homeland Security for 2 years has been looking at making you wear taser bracelets. Everyone becoming total prisoners, saying you can't get up for the last hour of the flight. You can't put a blanket over your lap. All of us being trained to live as prisoners. Now, as soon as our next guest leaves, I'm going to get into this because this is the top story. This is the most important issue. This isn't just a story or an article. This is what they're planning. This is what they're doing. Neocon says Obama should save presidency by attacking Iran. This came out last night, National Review. It's an article at prisonplanet.com. Very dangerous. I want to go back to the Philadelphia Daily News. Headline, 1 month from anniversary, I'm thinking another 9/11 would help America, laments Stu Bykofsky in his Philadelphia Daily News column. And I have more of these. The neocons, remember the top generals in that meeting with Rumsfeld, the tape got released 3 years ago, where they said, we need another 9/11, sir. And he said, yes, I know. We need a big article about all of this. I know Paul Watson's working on it right now. There's just so many instances where they must have it. Their entire agenda is imploding. I'm telling you, the underwear bomber, I told you the months before that, look for staged events, and now it's beginning. They are moving against free humanity. They are in trouble. They are down in the mud to their axles. They must stage terror attacks. And that's why it's so important that everyone see Terror Storm and Loose Change Final Cut. We've got Loose Change Final Cut for $5. You may know all about 9/11. Your friends and family don't get it. Terror Storm. You need to pre-order How Weed Won the West, Exposing Government Drug Dealing. Shadow Government We're Carrying. Fall of the Republic. You can get free T-shirts and DVD deals. Aaron Russo, Reflections and Warnings. Free, Infowars.com. Or call toll free, 888-253-3139. Now we're going to come back and expose the flu hoax. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Wolfgang Wodarg is our guest for at least the next 30 minutes. A very busy individual. We are honored to have him. This is a major news-making interview. He is the head of health at the Council of Europe. And we have the 47-nation body now investigating falsified swine flu pandemic, health ministers and officials being on the payroll worldwide in different countries to push the fear, the dangerous nature of the vaccine, all the deaths that were caused in the trials a few years ago of the bird flu. He's investigating it all. We salute him. They've been having their investigation the last few weeks. So here to break it down for us is Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg. And, sir, we really appreciate you coming on with us today.
Thank you that I can be with you today.
Again, tell us about just basically about the Health Council of Europe, why you started your investigation, what your investigation is finding.
Yes, I'm a physician myself, and I was director for many years of a public health institution in northern Germany, observing the flu waves coming every year. And as my region has about 120,000 inhabitants, I used to count about 10% of the population getting ill with a flu and something or symptoms of a flu almost every year. So when I observed this, what we heard last April about Mexico City, a region with 20 million people, I was very much astonished that there were only 1,000 cases when somebody already spoke about a pandemic. I didn't understand it because in my small town, we had more people getting ill within 1 or 2 weeks from the influenza too, when there was an influenza. And so I started investigating, and I found out that this was due to a change of definition. WHO had changed the definition of what a pandemic is. Me, as a public health doctor, I learned that a pandemic is something spreading very fast, but as the flu always spreads every year very fast, or as fast as the planes fly, so this was nothing new, and a pandemic, which is really worthwhile, an alarm or an alert reaction of the people of this world, this is a pandemic which has serious diseases, which goes along with very high mortality, with many deaths. And so when I heard about the Mexican cases, I was curious why they did this, because it didn't give any sense. There was nothing extraordinary. There were mild cases. It was not even a new virus. This was obvious very soon, because elder people didn't get ill. People older than 60 almost didn't get ill. And this is a very clear indication for that they have already been vaccinated with a similar virus, or that they have been infected with a similar virus some years ago or many years ago. So I didn't understand why this happened.
And now you've had a chance to begin your investigation. When did the council start looking at this?
Yeah, the council decided in the middle of December, on the 11th of December. And last year there was a session in on the Committee of Social Affairs and Health in Paris, and we had an unanimous decision that we want an urgent debate on the topic, because we wanted to reinstall trust in the WHO, because the population in Europe is very much astonished about this agency, because they advised us twice now, or at least twice, and they told us there's a big threat for health. It was the bird flu, where they said thousands of people may be dead, and they said it now the same way with the swine flu. So we want to reinstall health in this. We want to reinstall trust in this WHO. And this is why we wanted an urgent debate. And we have 47 countries, and in this parliamentary assembly of the Council of Europe, we have all the parliamentarians. We have the national parliamentarians from 47 countries. We have the opposition parliamentarians. We have the governing parties there. So if you transport a topic to this platform, you can be sure that there is a discussion 47 times in the different nations.
Okay, doctor, not to interrupt, but we have to break. Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg is our guest. He's the head of the Health Council of Europe. We're going to break down what they found, and it's incredible, on the other side.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg has been the head of health for the Council of Europe until late last month. Now he rotated off that post and still an honorary member of it. Now he's a private citizen medical doctor who can now speak about this. They've been investigating it since last year. They've now started the formal investigation from a week and a half ago. And we have the quotes here from the resolution about Big Pharma pushing this. Most of the White House here, the scientific experts on the payroll, they talk about it being a dangerous vaccine. The German government wouldn't take it, wouldn't give it to the troops. Our media lied and said there wasn't mercury in it. Of course, it killed a fraction of those what the regular flu does. So that's what they're looking at. So in that first segment, doctor, we got up to the point of the formal investigation starting. What did you guys hear in testimony in the last few weeks? And then break down personally some of the statements you've made, the research of what this appears to be.
Yeah, the WHO was present in the first edition, and there will be a report which will be finished in June, and there will be recommendations for our member governments how to handle this problem in future, because we have seen that the governments had to ordered a lot of vaccines, and they were obliged. They made marketing commitments with pharmaceutical companies because they were threatened by specialists, by scientists, that there could be something very dangerous coming. And so they just made those contracts. And within those contracts, which were secret, which we could not see as parliamentarians, there was written that the WHO was at the trigger to say this is a pandemic, and if they say it, then the whole business was on, and they had to take the vaccines for pandemic use. And this were about $18 billion worldwide value, and this is a lot of money in health. So we were wondering, because of this mild flu, how such an enormous waste of money could happen, and how millions of people could have been vaccinated parallelly to the seasonal vaccination, so it's a double vaccination, without any scientific evidence to do so. And there is Poland, for instance, where the health minister, she's experienced in public health, where she said, no, we don't buy this vaccine, and the Polish now are very well off. They are not vaccinated, they didn't spend the money. And in other nations, the people didn't trust. The French, for instance, they bought for 90% of the population, they bought vaccines, and only 6% took the vaccine. It's similar in Germany, and nevertheless, people are well off. This was the mildest flu ever, and the people were much more clever than the government. So we have to find out what was going on with WHO. Why did they do this pandemic alarm? And we found out that there is a public-private partnership within WHO, which developed the last 10 years, and which the very powerful pharmaceutical companies seem to have used quite well for them, for their purpose, for their shareholders. Because the decisions there were the reason why they now earn so much money with this vaccine. And we don't know what really happened. We only know that they changed the definition of pandemic, which was a very dangerous thing before, and now it's just a normal flu. It's called a pandemic, and this is the reason why the business for pharmaceutical companies was open.
Well, doctor, looking at this, And again, we're talking to the former head. He just left his post, a regular rotation off of it, last month as the head of the Health Council of Europe.
I still go on cooperating with my colleague and working on this matter very intensively.
So you're still part of it. My point is this. So out of the gates, and we noticed this, they changed the definition of a pandemic. So because they knew that it was very mild and wasn't a pandemic by the old measurement, not even near. So out of the gates, we know that that is fraud. And then in the reports I've been reading, the council and yourself have been talking about that the vaccine wasn't properly tested, was approved without testing, thanks to government's declarations of emergency. That's why they went with the pandemic designation, correct?
It's true, because if the pharmaceutical companies wanted to have a real business, they have a monopoly on the vaccines. And this is what they tried by using new vaccines, using adjuvants, using new technologies to breed the virus for the vaccine. And this were patented methods, so they could monopolize it and tell the governments that this was a pandemic vaccine, a special one, which they can produce more quickly than normally. And this is what they made the contract. And so this is the trick, how the big pharmaceutical companies had this marketing commitment.
Normally,
if you have the virus, which is to come, you make a mixture of certain viruses you expect to come. And there are so many facilities all over the world which would be able to produce non-patented vaccines everywhere, very fast and very much adapted to the epidemiological situation. But when you do this with a monopole, when you have such a small passage only, and everything has to go through those few enterprises, it is not faster, it's not quicker, and I think it is just the wrong pandemic plans we do. We should have no patents on vaccines. This is what we think politically. The Council of Europe already had a decision on this. We said there should be no patents, no monopoles possible on life-saving vaccines.
Because, doctor, doesn't that also incentivize the big pharma to engage in hype and hoaxes and fraud because it is a monetary driver?
Yes, I think it is their trick that they always try to monopolize this, and we pay much more like this. If we would pay the scientists to find out the best vaccines and to develop the best vaccines, and let this do without patents, and let them be copied all over the world very fast,
All right. The
taxpayer would be much better off, and it would be much cheaper.
Now, Dr. Wolfgang Wudarg, I want to move quickly because I know your time is precious here and you're very busy. I have so many questions, but a thought that I just had when you mentioned the third world, they're already saying they're going to ship this throughout the year around the world when they admit that the virus is already mutated and is already even weakening more. And in 6 months, a year, it'll be absolutely worthless if it wasn't already worthless. And they're saying they're going to ship the unused vaccine because the hoax failed. The people didn't take it in mass to the third world. I mean, is that not manifest fraud on top of fraud right there?
But there is no influenza in the hot countries, and they don't need it. And there is no influenza in the Arctic neither. The virus needs a certain climate to spread, and this is only in our regions in winter. And so the third world doesn't need it really. But I had a discussion yesterday with Japanese colleagues, and the Japanese, they are going to have the vaccination campaign in February, so they just will start now, and they know already that it is a very mild flu to come, and there is no danger in it, but the Japan bought vaccines for 110 million people, and they cannot retire from this vaccine contract, so they are in a very, very big political dilemma now, and they have very big problems because the Japanese people, they already know it wouldn't be necessary to get vaccinated. What shall Japan do with all its vaccines?
But that's my next issue, is this is destroying the credibility of the entire medical system when it is Big Pharma that is doing it. In the Council of Europe report, it is discussed that this is an untested, dangerous vaccine. Can you speak to that? Also, can you speak to the German military and government ministers being given a special additive-free vaccine? That isn't a very strong vote of confidence.
Yeah, this is two points. The first thing is that the pandemic vaccine is a pandemic vaccine, and it was planned to be produced very fast, trustly. And so this is the, we have additives, adjuvants and with it, and they are only tested with elderly people. This is why the FDA in U.S. didn't allow this vaccine to be used with children and younger people in U.S. And so U.S. people population is well better protected against those side effects. But in Europe, we just use them for children, for pregnant women, and there are no clinic. There's no clinical testing has been done with children and with some of the vaccines. And there are other vaccines, which you spoke about, for soldiers. This is a vaccine which takes the whole virus, and it is known to have more side effects. So it's not better than the one the rest of the population gets.
Well, yes, sir. Doctor, we know what adjuvants did with the anthrax shot. The Pentagon suspended it because in young people, as you know, doctor, but the audience may not, when you give a young person who has a really strong immune system an adjuvant, it can trigger what the cytokine storm and have the lungs fill full of liquid similar to hemorrhagic fever, correct?
I don't have this scientific evidence for this, but I know that the adjuvants, they stimulate the immune system enormously. And this may lead to misfunction of the immune system, which means that there may be autoimmune diseases or allergic diseases result afterwards within those vaccinated people.
So, what about all the confirmed cases of Guillain-Barré?
Guillain-Barré was there when they had this vaccine. It was in U.S. when they stopped having this, and this is there is evidence for this. But what they use now is a new patent adjuvant, and we don't have any evidence how the side effect of this will be. But this is a big risk, and it would not be necessary to take this risk.
I mean, sure, if the flu was killing tens of millions of people, it might be if you could trust the shot. But if it's a mild, bottom line, doctor, you personally looking at the research, is this a giant hoax? We know they paid off most of the big health ministers to come out and fearmonger. Is that not a conflict of interest?
It is, for sure, it is a conflict of interest. Those people who are there for their shareholders, who are in, to have the interest of the pharmaceutical companies and to earn a lot of money, they have different reasons to decide, and they decide differently than those people who are in charge of public health and of safety. And the WHO is an institution, a public institution for public health, and it should not, its decision should not be influenced by the interests of the industry. And this seems to be what happened. There is no other explanation for those decisions.
Bottom line, it's a hoax.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Dr. Wolfgang Wudarg is our guest. We're going to give you his website when we come back. I'm going to try to twist his arm into staying maybe to 40 after, because we're going to have 1 5-minute segment when we come back, and I've got this huge list of questions. If it sounds like I'm interrupting you, doctor, it's just I mean, you are such a great person. This council is doing such great work exposing this fraud. Wolfgang Wudarg, Dr. Wolfgang Wudarg is our guest. It's wudarg.de. is the website. We've got it up on screen at prisonplanet.tv for the viewers. Radio listeners can go to infowars.com and link over. We've got him till 40 after, graciously giving us a lot of time. He was the head of the investigation for the 47-member nation body, Council of Europe, Parliamentary Assembly over health, and they just had the start of the intense investigation. I want to get into that in the next segment. Any new breaking info that came out, what you were told by Big Pharma that you had before you. But first, doctor, you talk about the bird flu, and I have the Czech Republic news. I have the London Telegraph, where they were mixing weaponized, very deadly bird flu in. Thank God they found out it was killing the test animals. We have homeless people die after bird flu vaccine trial in Poland. Roughly 30% that were given it died. The media never said what Big Pharma company that was. You mentioned that hoax as well. Can you speak to that?
Oh, I'm not so much in this matter. I only know that the enterprise of Baxter sent such stuff to 16 laboratories in Europe. and that in Czech Republic they found out that it is a very dangerous mixture which they send, and they, it is said that they send it by accident, but the enterprise doesn't declare anything. And as far as I know, there have been no parliamentary investigation. I think there should be a very deep and thorough investigation on this. What I know is there is some courts dealing with this, so we have to look at the single states. And I think the German parliament should, too, be engaged in this and have a look what happened, really what happened, why it happened. It is a very dangerous thing. If those materials are handled, if those dangerous viruses are handled by people who are not very responsible and who are not very much bound to public interest and to public health, this is a dangerous thing. And if an enterprise which goes for money has such stuff, I think it is not, we should not allow this.
I also saw a lot of top genetic engineers and scientists in the headlines, I would imagine you saw it, Doctor, saying this was clearly a manufactured, that the swine flu appeared to come out of nowhere in the wrong hemisphere, wrong time of year, and that it had a pedigree leading back to laboratories.
It is a funny thing that it went like it went, and it is an unusual event which happened, and the blow-up, which was made very soon after the whole thing started, seems to be an indication that there was that there were people already waiting for something to happen to use this what happened for their purposes. It looks like that, but we have to find out what really happened, and I don't know it.
Well, sir, you told me off air you were aware of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. I will send you today the secret Department of Cemetery document we got in January of 2009 and the clips of an emergency manager who we did not give his name, but we confirmed who he was. We interviewed him. Others interviewed him. I interviewed him off air. We had the reporter on who interviewed him with the newspaper.com. In January, 3 months before the hype in Mexico City began, they went all over the U.S. from California, Illinois, New York, and I got the Bureau of Cemeteries and said, millions will die, prepare for martial law. Now, it appears that that was done. Also, in April, got secret documents, Department of Health in Texas, where they told them we're really at level six and that the government was scaring the locals covertly to create this fear. So clearly, sir, we know before it even popped up in Mexico that they were hyping this.
I don't know whether your parliamentarians in your parliament, whether they are after, they should be after this too. Because when we have such information in parliament, normally the opposition goes for it and the opposition tries to find out. And the parliamentarians have the right to investigate everything. Every door has to open if a parliamentarian comes. And it has to be made obvious. We have to see all the files. This is how we work normally in many countries of Europe. In Germany, I did this many times, and this should be done, and there should be investigations. And so I think this is a very big and very severe suspicion we must have, and so we have to be sure.
Well, sir, really going back to the hoax, which you're agreeing, clearly it's a hoax, what was the point of the hoax? And we also know, again, all these different government ministers in health, a lot of them are on the payroll of these companies.
I know about some countries that they were lists now of scientists who advised the Minister of Health, and those scientists are on the payroll of several companies. I know this about, I have information about France, I have information about Holland, I have information about in Britain. So, and my colleague, he will from the Labour Party, a parliamentarian from Great Britain, who will continue to have this auditions done. He will invite them, and he will try to get expertise and scientific evidence what really happened.
All right, got a break, Doctor. Final segment with our guest. We'll talk about what they discovered in their investigation. Wolfgang Wodarg is our guest. We've just got about 8 minutes left with him today. His website is wodarg.de, W-O-D-A-R-G. Very honored to have him with us. He headed up the investigation for the 47-member Health Council of Europe. Okay, sir, tell us now that you've had official hearings on this, new information that you've discovered. You also told me during the break the connection between bird flu, swine flu, secret contracts, why that is so important.
Yeah, we had a first audition, and the WHO representative was there, and we asked them which reasons they had to change the definition of a pandemic. And he didn't give us scientific reasons. He just told us that the WHO is asking many scientists. He told us the number of scientists. It was 138 scientists, he said. They were asking, and after this, they had changed the definition. But when you really see the press reports from that time, it's from the 19th of May, and we asked him this too, then you can see that there were many member states urging the WHO not to use the new definition. And Mr. Fukuda, who is the representative of WHO, who was present in Strasbourg, he told those member states of WHO, had told them, yes, we will have a deep thought on it. But then they met again with pharmaceutical industry, and they just went on blindly using this unwanted pandemic definition, and this led to spending enormous amounts of money, and this led to unnecessary vaccinations of millions of people. So I think this will be a very severe thing, and accusations we have against the WHO and against those pharmaceutical companies doing such an undue influence on the WHO decisions.
Well, Dr. Woodard, we know that they paid off ministers. We know they falsified the pandemic. We know they didn't get proper testing of the vaccine. We know they're making billions of dollars off of this. We know that bird flu trials killed a bunch of people. I mean, is this not a very serious criminal operation that we're investigating?
I think we have to stop this entering of the private pharmaceutical firms to the public health institution. They should just leave this institution, and they should have no influence on the decisions of the agency, of the public health agency, which is so important for protecting us against health spreads worldwide. And this shall be one of our goals to give advice to our governments to go to the World Health Assembly and to say that WHO has to change its rules and that there has to be more transparency. This will be the result, I think, of our recommendations. This will be our recommendations to the member states.
Well, we know that in the U.S. and Europe, especially the U.S., because I've really studied that area, perhaps you can fill us in on Europe. I mean, these are very draconian powers, and they tried to have forced inoculations in New York State and Massachusetts State. I saw some European Union member states tried to say everyone must take it. It's the law. Isn't this a human rights issue when the government in league with Big Pharma says you must take this experimental shot?
Yes, the Council of Europe is a human rights institution, and this is why we deal with the matter, because the integrity of the body and the right to health is a very important fundamental right, which is touched, and it should not be touched by if a doctor just does something because he wants to earn money, he is punished. If he doesn't do it for the health of his patient, but he does it only for his pockets. So if an institution or if a big institution does decisions for money and is influenced by people who do it for money, this is a crime too, and I think we have to go after it as a human rights institution, and we will do with it.
Well, sir, we appreciate you joining us here today. My final question is this. It's two-part. What is the process on the report? Any other breaking news that came out of the preliminary hearings? So what is the process? Any new information, breaking news you'd like to relay to the world here? And when will the final report come out?
I think the last question I can answer, the first, is that there is no pandemic vaccination necessary. We know this now. Rather, we are very, very sure that it is not necessary. So the people were right in France, the people were right in Germany not to have this pandemic vaccination. This is the first and most important thing. And what will be the result of our investigations, we see that in many national parliaments, we have special investigations, according to their institutes and their scientists now. So we are 47 nations, 47 parliaments will do investigations. And what we do in the Council of Europe, we will be the platform for exchange of experience, and we will foster this discussion in the national parliaments, and we try to feed them with information we get from WHO and from other institutions. We have we now collect all information. We are in this period that we collect many information about single scientists, single institutes, where they get their money from, and all this is now collected, and we get a better and better mosaic, a better picture of what had happened. And this will be the report then, and the recommendations will come out of it.
Well, we know laws have been broken, some crimes have been committed, conflict of interest. But if this clear picture is confirmed, do you believe that there will be calls for indictments or criminal investigations, or does Big Pharma have too much control?
There is no law for WHO. There is no one who punishes those people in WHO. We only have national law. So this is very important that we have collect the information, and on the national level, we try to find those people responsible, and we try to punish them there if they did something wrong.
Because if we don't, they're just going to keep doing this over and over again.
Again, yes. But this is the task of the governments, because the governments, they define the role of the WHO. It's a contract between the UN nations, and the UN nations and the governments of those nations, they control the work of WHO. But it's the government; it's not the parliament.
Will you be able to ever get those secret contracts?
We got it in Germany, the French got it, and the national parliaments are now working to get all the contracts. The Japanese told me that they had no possibility to retire from their contract, as we in Germany succeeded to do a little bit. So we negotiated with the pharmaceutical companies, and they let us save a little bit money from those almost 700 million euros they wanted first. So it's very, very different from nation to nation, and I just can tell my colleagues and just can ask my colleagues in all parliaments, go ahead, have investigations, have a deep look. We cannot tolerate such a development. We cannot have this the next winter again. We don't want such fake pandemics.
But the good news is the court of public opinion, I've seen the numbers. This is record numbers of people not buying the hype who are refusing to take the shots. And in the final equation, we're going to let you go, doctor. Who are the real bad guys? Big Pharma? And are you saying the WHO is run by Big Pharma?
The WHO has opened the door for Big Pharma. And the Big Pharma influences the WHO by scientists with institutes paid by Big Pharma. Scientists are dependent that the institutes get money from Big Pharma, and the scientists go there. They do the clinical studies for Big Pharma on one hand. On the other hand, they go to WHO and say, you have to buy those pills, do such decisions. This is what the suspicion is, and this cannot be tolerated. The public health institutions have to be free from influence, from economic influence. It's about our health. It's not about business.
Yeah. Well, that's like Rick Perry, our governor, saying all girls must take the Gardasil shot that they admits killed a bunch of people. And then that wasn't even a law. He just recommended it, but went on TV and said it was the law. Hoax after hoax, and it turned out most of his party got massive money from Merck. Dr. Wolfgang Wodarg, we appreciate Dr. Wodarg for joining us. Wodarg.de is the website, W-O-D-A-R-G. We appreciate you and your colleagues' unanimous investigation, unanimously agreeing this is a hoax and a fraud and expanding the investigation. We salute your courage, sir, and we'll continue to watch the investigation and the report.
Thank you very much for your interest.
Take care, sir. We're very, very interested. Thank you. There goes Dr. Wodarg. Now, notice that they tried to make it mandatory in France and then in states in the U.S., and this whole thing fell apart because we exposed it, because we found out in January early on that they were planning a flu hoax hype. We didn't know if it would be real. We didn't know if it would be super deadly. We didn't know if there'd be martial law. We just knew they were hardening all police facilities for martial law in the name of pandemic megadeth flu. Millions dead in Illinois. Millions dead in New York State. I mean, these are the documents we got. These are the eyewitnesses. And I went on air in January, in February, in March, and said, look for flu. And then when it popped up in Mexico and they hyped it up, we said, we don't know what's happening, but we know they're staging it. Look out. And our websites got hacked. We got attacked. And then I really got concerned because these were government-level attacks. And I was like, my God, this is real. But the good news is we exposed the hoax together, you, the listeners of this show, and others, and we came through this together. And now they are damaged to where it will be hard for them. But Obama signed an executive order for total police state control during a biological attack. And what, he signed that a month ago, or I guess it was in December, a month and a half ago now. And so it's hard to believe we're in the second month of 2010. Before we know it, it'll be December 31st, 2010, and we'll be going into 2011 and all of this craziness. But we've got Freeway Ricky Ross coming up, who was running narcotics for the CIA and didn't even find out about it till later. One of the most famous drug dealers in history. We're going to talk about a host of issues with Freeway Ricky Ross. And then Kevin Booth pops in halfway through the interview. He's interviewed in Kevin's film, How Weed Won the West. And that's Kevin's title. I think it's a great film. I consulted on it. I would have called it Drug War, too. This exposes the drug war, how they want Codex Alimentarius to restrict and control the vitamins. It exposes how they're trying to stop medical marijuana. It exposes how 87% of illegal drug users only use marijuana. And that's why they want to keep marijuana illegal, because if they don't have that, they don't have an excuse for SWAT teams and prisons and controlling us and how the government ships in and launders the majority of the drugs. How Weed Won the West, you can pre-order it. It ships in 12 days. We have it first, Infowars.com. Also, obviously, Fall the Republic. You can get free T-shirts when you order Fall the Republic. Free Aaron Russo Reflections and Warnings documentary when you order Fall the Republic. You can also get my other films half price when you order a copy of Shadow Government, available at Infowars.com. In the last few months, we've been adding new T-shirts every week. These T-shirts spread the word about freedom. You meet like-minded people when you go to church or go to work or go for a walk or go to the park or go to a concert or go to the bar to, you know, have a beer. The new T-shirts are in on the back. It says, join the resistance, Infowars.com, a walking billboard for liberty. And on the front, it says, defend freedom, join the resistance, Infowars.com. And it's got a Minuteman on the front with a bullhorn. Great design that Janae Meadows, one of our graphics people, came up with. And here's one that I pretty much designed. I mean, I said, I want one that looks like a swim team or basketball or football practice jersey, you know, when you're not wearing pads. I remember these gray T-shirts I'd wear in junior high and high school. It's got a Minuteman on a horse with a bullhorn, defend freedom, Infowars.com, and it's got an AK-47 under it. So again, ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, Infowars.com. For the ball caps, the T-shirts, the sweatshirts, the films, the free deals, Infowars.com, or call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. Now, we ordered a few thousand of the Obama Joker shirts, and we got 8 different designs with Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or Socialist or Fascist. It's all the same thing, exposing him. New World Order. A lot of the sizes and designs have sold out. There's still a lot of free sizes and designs that are there. But if your size or design isn't there, we have other T-shirts, whatever size you want, of other designs free when you get Fall the Republic. So again, take advantage of that at Infowars.com. And your purchase makes this radio show and all we do here possible as well. So it's a win-win-win. You get the word out and you support us and you get a great-looking T-shirt. There's like 100 different T-shirts. It's got to be. I haven't counted them up there now that we've designed. We're just adding more and more and more and more and more to Infowars.com. Okay. And we talked to listeners who wear these out in public. They're meeting a lot of friends. Just try putting an InfoWars sticker that we mail out free and a citizen rule book with all the orders. I forgot about that. Put that on your car and see what happens. Now, you may run into Johnny Law, who may let you out of a ticket because of it. We've seen that happen. Or they may freak out. You know, how dare you in You know, how dare you in America do that? Now, how dare you have free speech? This is the big top story, though. With their swine flu hoax collapsing, with their global carbon tax hoax collapsing, with their government takeover of healthcare collapsing, with their staged terror attacks collapsing, with their whole agenda globally, no one believes anything they say. All the corruption's coming out, the banker bailout totally being exposed, the people they're finding out about Obama, lying about everything, that he's a puppet. They want to stage terror attacks, and I'm telling you, that's the only card they've got to play, that or a new war. And to get the war with Iran, they're going to need to have a staged terror attack. I know Paul Watson told me before I went on air, he's writing a big detailed report on this. I hope he adds the part about all the White House officials and the five different network advisors on military affairs, all former generals. That famous tape came out 3 years ago where they're saying, man, we really need another terror attack. Another 9/11 would sure help us. And Rumsfeld, yeah, it's too bad. Just the public, you know. I mean, they come one hair breadth from coming right out and saying they carried out 9/11. Yes, it's up. Red alert. Intelligence chiefs certain their bosses will stage terror attacks soon. And we know the underwear bomber was staged. They let him on the plane, protected him. U.S. government, State Department said we were tracking him. Totally staged. And this article is now up on prisonplanet.com. You guys print it for me so I can read it instead of looking across the room when I get back. Thanks. We're going to cover this when we come back from break and dovetail it with Neocon says Obama should save presidency by attacking Iran. This was just said yesterday in National Review. And if that isn't a staged terror attack, I don't know what is. And then we have all these other people in the past, these different neocons, coming out and saying we sure need another 9/11. So I want to go over some of their statements as well, because these people are just devilishly obvious and have such contempt for the public, they just admit this right out in the open. And so, again, this is Stu Bykofsky writing for the Philadelphia Daily News. I want to remind you of what he said, where they're just right out in the open with their game plan. If they don't stage terror and launch new wars, it's over for them. But if we expose them ahead of them doing it, that'll blow up in their face, too. Stay with us. Here's the top story. This is your daily action, folks. I need you to post this on all your Facebooks, your MySpace, your Twitter. We were looking at Facebook, and there's 20 or so fan sites with over 100,000 members. Just get it out to everybody. Red alert. Intelligence chiefs certain their bosses will stage terror attack. This is from PrisonPlanet.com, Paul Joseph Watson. Dissatisfied with their botched efforts of the underwear bombing patsy, military-industrial complex promises to try again. Using information gleaned from the blatantly set-up underwear bomber patsy, intelligence chiefs have assured us that their bosses will stage another terror attack in the U.S. I'm going to play the Fox News clip in the last 30 minutes of the show today. Within the next 3 to 6 months, and that's their timeline as they mass ships and troops for Iran. According to the nation's intelligence chiefs, a terror attack in the United States will be likely launched within the next 6 months, reports the Wall Street Journal. ABC News has learned some of the intelligence has come from accused Christmas Day bomber, states the report. Now they want to X-ray your body with chest X-rays because they may have fake breast implants with bombs. Despite the fact that the official story behind the Christmas Day bombing has been discredited beyond all recognition, the establishment is still constantly invoking. It is yet another reason for Americans to obediently line up for naked body scans in fear of whatever boogeyman is being waved in front of their faces this week. Since federal and state authorities apparently now consider libertarians, Ron Paul supporters, gun owners, and basically anyone with two brain cells left rubbed together as potential terrorists, domestic terrorists, whatever tricks they do decide to pull over the next 6 months will undoubtedly be used to tighten the screws against the American dissidents they have consistently characterized as extremist threats. And they're saying they want to start censoring the internet in the name of countering this. I mean, they're moving, folks, because we're hurting them. Authorities not servants, but authorities, last week quietly reversed the official story behind the Christmas Day underwear bombing attack, acknowledging that the accomplice was involved despite weeks of denial and derision of key eyewitness Kurt Haskell's description of a sharp-dressed man who helped the underwear bomber board Flight 253 in Amsterdam to Detroit. Detroit lawyer Kurt Haskell maintained from the beginning that he saw a well-dressed Indian man aid the accused bomber to board the plane despite the fact that he had no passport and was on a terror watch list. While Mutalib was poorly dressed, his friend was dressed in exquisite suit, Haskell said. He says the suited man asked ticket agents whether the underwear bomber could board without a passport. This guy, he said, is from Sudan, and we do this all the time, reported Michigan Live News website. FBI agents interviewed Haskell and told him about the sharp-dressed man, but officials refused to admit that a wider conspiracy was at hand, stoically maintaining the official story that the underwear bomber acted alone. Authorities claim that videotapes did not show a second man accompanying the underwear bomber, and yet they refused to release any footage of the alleged bomber. There seems little doubt that the underwear bomber was at least one accomplice, if not more. Authorities have remained silent about other eyewitness reports, which described a man intently filming the alleged terrorist throughout the whole flight, a connection that strongly suggests the attempted bomber was involved in some kind of drill and that his strings were being pulled by people in more senior positions. Then you have the other guy they say they found with a bomb that they jerked off the plane. It continues. Hundreds of terror suspects, patsies and mentally deficients, have been convicted in civilian federal courts, including convicted shoe bomber Richard Reed, who attended the Finsbury Park Mosque of North London, the Finsbury Imam at the time, has been working for British security services since 97, just like the head of the 7/7 bombings was one of their security service people. A large number of the supposed terrorists convicted in American courts were entrapped by FBI and classic COINTELPRO fashion, did not have links to CIA-created Al-Qaeda. The entrapped often fuzzy on Al-Qaeda or what it represents. And then they get into the key areas here where the neocons are calling for some type of staged event or new war. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Neocons in National Review and other places are calling for an attack on Iran to get Obama's approval ratings up. That's coming up in the next hour. But for the next 60 minutes, we're joined by Freeway Ricky Ross, one of the biggest cocaine dealers in U.S. history. And he was sentenced to life imprisonment after being convicted of trying to purchase more than 100 kilograms of cocaine from a federal agent. Ross's capture was facilitated by his career-long dealer, and it goes through all of that. It came out in the Dark Alliance piece done by Gary Webb that won the Pulitzer Prize, that the CIA was the main supplier of Ross. In 96, the CIA's inspector general basically admitted all this before Congress, and we have all the cases of CIA aircraft crashing with pure cocaine on board coming from the source. That happened just a year or so ago in Mexico. This goes on and on. So I want to get somebody at the heart of the cocaine epidemic on to break down what the drug war is really all about. He finally got out of prison. There have been all these big TV shows and movies and things made about Freeway Ricky Ross. And he now joins us here today. Good to have you with us.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me. You know, you tried to see me when I was in prison. I remember all the trouble that you went through trying to get in there, and then you know, those people weren't going to have it.
But now you're out. I mean, look, your bio is so amazingly complex. Just out of the gates, describe yourself the way you would describe Ricky Ross.
Man, I'm a loving, caring person. I love to help people. I want to see people happy, free, you know what I'm saying? And just enjoying this wonderful planet that we have, man. I want to save our planet. I think that we've been ruining it, you know, and That's my goal right now. I've been going around speaking to kids, which is one of the other things that I think that we have to do. You know, we have to get our children where they become analogical thinkers. You know, right now we're raising a bunch of robots where they just go along with the system. You know, whatever the powers that be say, they do it and never ask any questions. And you know, you got to question what's going on here. You know, when you see these people attacking different countries over oil and you know, resources, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, what is all this about? You know, is it really about weapons of mass destruction, or really just about making somebody's pocket richer who already have so much money that they're never going to spend it?
Absolutely. Expanding on that, Ricky, expanding on it, just in a nutshell, how did you get into drug dealing? How did you get supplied by the CIA? And is it true you were making profit $4 or $5 million a day?
Yes. I got into it from a school teacher. Turned me on to the drug business. I started with absolutely nothing, $125. I was broke. I was making my heyday $1 million to $2 million every day. It wouldn't be a day. Not a day went by that I wasn't making $1 million.
Now, was that profit or just overall?
Overall, it wasn't profit. It would be off of $1 million. My profit would be about $200.
Now, when we come back, because we're about to break, I want to go through, you know, the history briefly for people that don't know. Most people do, but directly from, you know, the horse's mouth, as they say, not from the media spin. That you didn't even discover till later you were really being supplied by the CIA. I want to walk through that because this is a historical record. And then Gary Webb, they tried to discredit him. He had a new book coming out proving he was right. He's been since vindicated. He said people had been breaking into his house. Then he got killed, shot himself twice in the head. And the police said, oh, it's normal to shoot yourself twice in the head.
With a shotgun. I don't know.
All right, Ricky Ross, stay there. The website is freewayenterprises.com, freewayenterprises.com, to check out all things Freeway Ricky Ross. Ricky Ross is our guest. We got 58 minutes or 55 minutes coming up with our guest today. Very honored to have him with us and glad that he's been speaking out against the system. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
FreewayEnterprise.com, FreewayEnterprises.com, links up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Ricky Ross spent decades in prison. We interviewed him from prison over the phone. Could never get into interview him. Poor American Drug War, 5 years in the making that Kevin Booth made. By the way, that's available at Infowars.com with How Weed Won the West, exposing this. Our listeners on the Twitter, on the Facebook are going crazy. If you have questions for Freeway Ricky Ross, you can send it to twitter.com/RealAlexJones, and we'll ask some of those questions. But Mr. Ross, again, well, I'm going to have him tell it. Going through how he became the biggest drug dealer on the West Coast, how he discovered that it was the CIA supplying him. It came out in the Dark Majesty and Dark Alliance pieces done by Gary Webb. They clearly then murdered him, the cover-up of that. And now where he's going today, what he's doing today, and what he has to say about the phony drug war. We've got all these drug dealers right. Interviewed.
I got a lot to say about that, Alex.
Go ahead,
I think,
sir.
It's robbery. A lot of those people should be put in prison. That's running this drug war. It's a mockery.
Well, we're going to get into that. In fact, right now, just give us your take on how the drug war really works, who's really behind the drugs, and let's go over your history.
Well, you know, Alex, I started off, when I first started selling drugs, Alex, believe it or not, I had no clue that I was going to become a drug dealer. No intentions on becoming a drug dealer. I was a tennis player, trying to become a tennis pro, wanting to go to college first to play tennis, and then wanting to go from there to become a pro. It was a movie came out that first introduced me, the first time I ever heard about cocaine, and then it went from there to a teacher telling me that that's how he made his money. And that sparked my interest. I went from being a total novice within 5 months to being, you know, a player. in the drug business, making, you know, $1,000 a day. So basically, I was trapped almost, I would say, because, you know, when I go out and talk to these kids right now, I let them know that I know that today they may be innocent and not involved in drugs or anything like that there, but tomorrow, you know, that could change with circumstances. So that's basically how I got started in it. How I found out about that the CIA was involved, I got a call one day from my lawyer. My consulate came and got me and said, hey, your lawyer said he needs to talk to you. So when I called my lawyer back, it was he was telling me about Gary. He didn't tell me Gary's name, but he said, some reporter is investigating your informant, and he said that this guy's a major player. I said, well, hell, I already knew he's a major player. That's where I used to get all my drugs from. So I didn't know how major he was, though. You know, I didn't know that he had the ties that he had. I thought that we were just basically, you know, working in Los Angeles. I didn't know that, you know, he had spots up in San Francisco, Oklahoma, New Orleans. He was basically working the whole country. So my lawyer told me, he said, well, this reporter wants to come and see you. I said, well, I ain't got nothing to lose. You know, I'm looking at a life sentence. I ain't never going home. And the evidence is stacked up pretty good against me. You know, this guy, he called me and tells me that he has 700 kilos of cocaine and he needs to get rid of them. And these guys are on his back and he owes them money and they're going to do something to him. And would I please help him get rid of, you know, a couple hundred? You know, and I try to explain to him, hey, man, you know, I'm out the game. I'm trying to go straight, do the right thing, you know, and, you know, just do the right thing now. Well, anyway, he sweated me for 6 months. And finally, I broke down and I introduced him to a friend. When I introduced him to this friend, DEA come in and arrest all of us and take my friend's money who I introduced him to. And
they wanted to burn you in hindsight because previously your big supplier had been the CIA. Let's go back, though, and explain that, because that later came out in the Dark Alliance piece.
Absolutely. I mean,
give folks the names of these players.
Norman Nessus, Danilo Blandon. Danilo Blandon is the guy that I dealt with hand-to-hand. You know, I saw him every single day, two or three times a day. Norman Nessus, I never remember seeing him, but Danilo testified on the witness stand that we had been in buildings a couple times together. Because, you know, when I was young. I wasn't really paying attention to who was who, whose name was what. I didn't care about the Contras.
They were using you as the main front. Continue.
Right. Basically, the only thing I was really doing, Alex, was selling drugs. I loved it that I was getting drugs so cheap and I could beat anybody's price and I could get all the drugs that I wanted. Those were my main concerns at that time. I didn't care if they was coming from the Contras, the CIA. I didn't ask any questions. You know, you're taking a guy who was flat broke and, you know, living in South Central Los Angeles, and now he's out of South Central. He has a condo and houses and cars. And I'm able to help my family. Those are the things that I was.
Yeah, suddenly you're making $1 million a day, but the government and the banks bringing it in and laundering it, they're not bad. It's you that's bad. So I mean, bring us through when you really got the big connections, what year that was, when the money really started rolling in.
About 82-ish, 83-ish. We started making money hand over. I mean, I started making so much money that money didn't even matter anymore. It wasn't about the money. It got to the point where I was just doing it for the rush. I had more money than I thought I could ever spend. You know, I just bought whatever I wanted. And how I found out about the CIA for the first time was when Gary Webb's paper, because Gary didn't let it out. You know, Gary didn't tell me what the story was. He made sure that we weren't to the same guy, that my guy who set me up was his guy. And the next thing I know, after my trial, you know, Gary basically questioned Blandon for us. He interrogated Blandon through my attorney.
This is the San Jose Mercury News Pulitzer Prize winning author.
Right. And what we did when we were going to trial, Gary sat right on the first row, and whenever my lawyer would need a question, he would always walk back to Gary and ask me, what should I ask him? And then Gary would give him names and you know, times and dates and all this stuff, and we couldn't believe where all this information was coming from. So Gary made the informant say stuff like Reagan and them gave him $18 million to buy medical supplies, and they took it and bought drugs. You know, things of that nature came out in his testimony.
So it turns out that Blandon and others were working for the CIA.
Absolutely. They are what they call CIA operatives. They're not CIA agents, but they were operatives. meaning that they're on the CIA payroll, but, you know, they don't have green cards, so that they can't officially be CIA agents.
And then later, people like Barry Seal, who were operatives, they end up killing them.
Absolutely. We're not sure if Landon's still alive. We don't know where he's at right now.
Go through some more of what came out in the trial and what came out in Dark Alliance. I mean, they really wanted to get Webb, and I talked to his friends and others who said that there were people breaking in his house, everything else, and then suddenly all these operatives came out and said, we were liars, nobody ever broke in his house, even though I had all these friends that had talked to Gary Webb. I'd interviewed Gary Webb. I'd talked to Webb about threats he was getting. He's got a new book coming out, totally proving even more. I was going to get him on, and then he shoots himself twice in the head with a shotgun.
Well, you know, even not just there, but even in the courtroom, they harassed Gary. You know, the DEA, the prosecutor, all of them told Gary that they were going to get him. You know, they didn't want him inside the courtroom.
Oh, really? Tell us about that as a witness in the court.
Oh, well, when he was inside the courtroom, they would, when he walked outside the hall, all of them would be all over him. What the hell are you doing here? Get out of here. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. You're going to get yours. I mean, just all kind of crazy stuff. My lawyer would tell me what was going on in the hallway, you know, because I couldn't see that. But this is the thing that my lawyer was telling me, and also Gary had told me some of the things that had happened to him as well.
Well, that's like the D.C. madam. I said, you're not going to kill yourself. And she said, no. And then I said, you better watch it. And then her landlord said people were following her. She was fearing for her life. She would never kill herself. Then they kill her. And then they have these operatives come out on the news and say, she told me she was going to kill herself. Look, if anybody kills me or kills you, I mean, let's say it on record. I'm never going to kill myself, and you're never going to kill yourself. Right, Ricky?
Absolutely. I was just going to tell you that. Just for the record, Alex, I love living. I'm breathing. I'm going to take a deep breath right now because I like breathing so much. I would never kill myself. I don't care. I'd rather go back to prison for life than to be dead. So, I'm never going to kill myself. There's never going to get anything out of here that would make me kill myself. So just for the record, Ricky Ross will never kill himself. So if something happened to me, you know that it was suicide.
And if somebody comes out and says you said you were, they're a liar.
Absolutely. You're getting it right here live on the Alex Jones Show that Ricky Ross loves being free. He loves his freedom, and I love working with these children. I'm getting such results that I would never kill myself, and I'm planning on living a long time. Matter of fact, you know, I eat healthy, I drive safe, I wear my seatbelt everywhere I go. I want to be around. So y'all watch out for me.
And I want to second all that. In fact, I've even done that myself on air. I love breath. I love life. Oh, my heart's beating good, and I drive safe, and I wear my seatbelt, and I don't use drugs, and
our government is off the chains, man. We the people, we got to stand up, though, Alex. It's time we come out of this robotic state, man, and start doing, you know, they've been spending billions of dollars on this drug wars, man. They're locking these young kids up for $1,000 worth of drugs. They're giving them 20 and 30 years and telling them they can't be rehabilitated. How can a 19-year-old kid not be rehabilitated because he sold some drugs?
Well, take Rush Limbaugh. He was eating 100 Oxycontins a day till it made him go deaf. They did a calculation, would kill 7 average-sized horses. He was that addicted, probably has a liver the size of a couch. And he says if somebody gets caught with cocaine, they need 25 years in prison first offense. But if he's taking synthetic heroin, that's okay.
Exactly. It's a double standard. If you're not one of the good old boys, you go to prison. If you're a good old boy, you get a TV show, a radio show like Oliver North. I mean, I didn't say that, did I?
Hey, Ricky Ross, stay there. We're going to come back and continue with the government drug dealing, what you're doing currently, your website, and a lot more. FreewayEnterprises.com. I'm Alex Jones. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. We're here live back Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Ricky Ross' website is FreewayEnterprise.com. We'll put that up on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers and radio listeners. We have a link up on our website, PrisonPlanet.com. Ricky, going back, though, to Dark Alliance, the articles, the book, Gary Webb, I mean, all documented. And do you have any doubt that they murdered him?
Man, and not in my mind. I'm almost positive that they murdered Gary Webb. I mean, you know, he cut so much stuff out. He made them tell on themselves. You know, the evidence was so clear that, you know, even the CIA admitted that they knew that their operatives were selling drugs in this country. You know, in my situation, and said, yeah, we knew that these guys were selling drugs, but we didn't sanction it. And that's when, you know, Congresswoman Waters came back and say, well, you know that it's your job to stop drug dealers from selling drugs in the country, and you turn the blind eye.
Let's get a little bit more into what happened in your trial, the type of stuff that you, your lawyer, and Gary Webb got to come out.
Well, we turned up this kind of information. We thought that that was enough to free me from prison. You know, that the CIA knew that their operatives, because what we tried to do is we tried to use the government theory about entrapment against them, that if your operative, somebody that you're paying, is selling drugs, then that's just like you selling drugs. You know, you're connected to this person from the pay, so whatever he does, you're responsible for it. And we tried to hit him from that angle on my appeal. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, clearly, and this wasn't even a sting or entrapment. They were using you to make the money. They were using you. That'd be like if a mafia don gives an order to a soldier to go do something. The mafia don's more guilty than the soldier. How do you send the soldier to prison and not the don?
Absolutely. And that's the scenario that we tried to use in our case in trial that you know, me and Alan tried to put together. And we got all that information via Gary's investigation, you know, what Gary put together and turned in. We turned around and used those same documents in court, in the federal government. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals said, yeah, okay, they were selling drugs, the CIA was involved, but we're not going to excuse Ricky Ross from selling drugs, too.
Now, a lot of evidence shows you'd gone completely clean. And
absolutely,
that they set you up because they didn't want you running around out there because they knew Gary Webb had already been talking to you.
Well, you know what? I figured, and like you're saying, they felt that it would be better for me to be in prison talking about what had happened. It would lessen my credibility. You know, if you got a guy, he's from prison, and he's saying that the CIA is selling drugs, you know, oh, some wacko from prison, you know, saying all this stuff. But if a guy is on the streets saying it, you know, it gives him more credibility. So they felt that it would be much better to have me in prison than to have me out on the street saying the same thing.
Is the government putting pressure on you, or have you had any veiled or open threats to keep your mouth shut?
No, not at this time I haven't. Nobody has contacted me at all about anything. But, you know, Alex, I really don't talk about it much anymore. I've just been trying to go on with my life and hopefully you know, I don't wind up, you know, in the ocean or nothing like that there.
Well, plus it's an open secret. They've had congressional hearings, documentaries, the cover of Esquire, CIA aircraft are always crashing full of drugs. I mean, I guess they just don't even care anymore. Okay, we bring the drugs in, your kids use it, and we put them in prison.
Right. The people are not going to do anything. You know, they're under the feeling that we do what we want to do. We lie about whatever we want to lie about, and the people keep on letting us stay in power and keep on collecting all the money, you know, you know, I take my hat off to Gary, you know, for what he did, but I don't know many people that would put their life on the line like Gary did, and knowing that nothing's going to change, that our people are going to continuously allow our elected officials to continue running mockery of our country.
And he had a new book coming out with even more damning evidence. And now that book didn't get published because they shot him twice in the head with a shotgun.
Well, you know, they took the other book. They didn't want to put the other book out. They wouldn't put any promotion behind it. You know, they fired him from the newspaper.
Yes.
I mean, from the newspaper. I mean, Gary was catching pretty hell from everywhere. You know, one of my friends, Jesse Catchman, the L.A. Times, he come down and, you know, try to secretly do an interview with me that I felt was totally improper, you know, that I didn't know what was going on. So, you know, all of them ganged up on him. And I thought that it was really unfair. I thought that they should go and do an investigation and try to prove that he was right.
But that's what he's been proven right. But that's why they killed him. He had another book coming out to prove all that. Good guys get torn down by COINTELPRO, and that's what they did to Gary Webb, and he wouldn't shut up, so they killed him. We'll be right back with Freeway Ricky Ross. Stay with us. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Booth's film that I'm in and consulted on, American Drug War, details the fraud of the drug war. He's got part two of it out. That's a lot more hardcore, getting into government drug dealing, how the fake drug war works, how they want to ban and restrict vitamins like they're drugs now, even vitamin C and fish oil. It's all covered in How Weed Won the West. It starts shipping the 15th of this month. Pre-order it today. You can get American Drug War half price at Infowars.com. FreewayEnterprise.com is the website of Freeway Ricky Ross. Probably the biggest drug dealer in West Coast history, who discovered that the CIA was why he was getting cocaine cheaper than anybody else. And they've got similar people all over today. Just like Tony Montana says in Scarface, which is based on a composite of true stories. Oliver Stone wrote that with real drug dealers. He's sitting there in his hot tub and he's going, they're the banks. They've got it all figured out. They've been here 1,000 years. They'll be here in 1,000 years. Fly, Pelican. And, basically, that's what's going on, ladies and gentlemen. And they use people like Ricky Ross, a real-life Tony Montana, except he's not out murdering people, and set him up to get him out of the way. Now, Ricky, you know, I've thrown out a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions here from Twitter. But anything else you want to impart to this audience of a couple million people, what you think is important, what you're currently doing, before we get into some of the listener questions?
Well, Alex, I think that an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. I think that we got to get out here to our kids. We got to start talking to them. And we got to start listening, you know, to what they're saying. You know, I've been visiting a lot of these kids, these schools in the ghettos. And, man, it's amazing that these kids come up to me after I finish talking to them and say, you know what, nobody never told me to think like this here. You know, basically what I'm teaching them, Alex, is that you have to take something and put it in your hand and weigh it. You know, you just don't take everything at face value for what the TV says, what rappers say, or what your guy down the street say, or what your neighbors say. You have to be able to think for yourself and analyze every situation for what it is, because when you start letting other people think for you, you're in trouble. They're going to take you, they're going to use you, and you'll become their victim.
On the drug war, all the statistics, all the studies, European countries that have done it, if we decriminalize drugs, on average, within a decade, drug use drops by more than half. Crime implodes. Look what happened with alcohol prohibition, and alcohol kills 300,000 people a year. What is your stance on drug decriminalization?
I totally agree with you that if you take the value out of drugs, then it will no longer have the attraction that it has right now. Right now, drug dealing has an appeal. You know, Alex, right now they treat me like a rock star out here on the streets. You know, when I go places, people come up to me and hug me. They want to take pictures with me. I've probably taken 20, 30,000 pictures since I've been home. I go to USC football games. They want to take pictures. I go to the Lakers games. They want to take pictures when I go to the schools. So, you know, it's something wrong with that way of thinking. You know, when you figure that I was a drug dealer, that why would anybody want to take pictures with a guy like this here? It's because of the decriminalization. It's the glamour that goes with it. You know, you beat the system. You're different. We have to take that kind of stuff out of it.
Exactly. And you take the $500 billion a year in the U.S. connected to illegal drugs out of it, and it will disappear overnight, and we can have real communities and not have these cancers in the community. And the system knows that. That's why they chose the black community to put the cocaine out in it, just like they say in The Godfather. You know, keep it in the colored area. They're animals. Absolutely. Let them lose their souls.
Absolutely. And on top of that, Alex, look at the prison industry. They have these guys, they put these guys in there 19 years old and give them 20 years, and these guys work 20 years, but then on top of that, they pay them 25 cents an hour, but then they charge the taxpayer $40,000 a year per guy. You know, take a guy like me, they gave me a life sentence for selling drugs. I was going to live another 50 years, so America, taxpayers, you, Alex, would have been paying $40,000 a year to keep me in prison, plus my medical bills. And then you only feed me beans and rice. Where's all this money going? You know, you got me in a room the size of a closet. The sheets probably only cost a dollar. Where's all the money going, Alex? Who's getting greed from this prison industry?
Well, that's what's sick, Ricky, is I know you've studied this being in there for more than 20 years, but I've looked at it in depth. The major global private prison industries are all owned and run by the biggest money laundering, drug dealing banks.
Huh. Ain't that crazy? Don't that all come together? And then the only people that can invest in that company, you have to be a part of the government. Judge, prosecutor, police officer. I mean, it's like one big family. Everybody's benefiting. Everybody's profiting.
Well, that's how they legalize slavery again. They put addictive substances out that they know people are going to get addicted to. They promote it in the movies like it's cool and fun and glamorous. And when you use it, they lock you up in their private prison owned by the kingpin drug dealers.
Alex, you figured that thing out. You know it better than I do, and I live there. That's exactly the way it works, Alex. I don't know how you did it from out here. You're one of the conscious ones. But that's what we need the rest of our country to wake up to and know that, you know, we can take that money that we're pumping into their pockets and start using it to educate our kids. Alex, you know, I go to those schools, and these schools don't have the basic books that our kids need to learn. It's ridiculous.
It's incredible. Ricky, I want to bring Kevin Booth up, who has interviewed you and posted it on his Sacred Cow site, who's been working with you for the last 5, 6, 7 years in prison, was also working with Gary Webb till he got murdered. I want to bring Kevin up with some of his questions or stories about working with you and how great it is to now have you as a force of truth out on the street.
Kevin is another trailblazer like Gary, man. Kevin gets it in. Kevin comes out here, and believe me, Alex, I worry about him sometimes. He's in South Central Los Angeles, gang-infested South Central Los Angeles, little Kevin, white boy, with a camera. Can you believe that? When I saw that, I was like, Kevin, are you out of your mind?
I can hear Kevin right now. Kevin, you're on with Free Ricky Ross. Good to have you here with us.
Hey, man. It practically brings a tear to my eye to hear Ricky Free and talking to you and everything like that, so it's a really great day.
Kevin, tell the story. You rode back with Freeway Ricky Ross on the Greyhound bus for, what, 20 hours? What was that like?
20 hours. Try practically 48 hours. It's about 38 hours. I think Ricky chose the bus ride because however long if he flew, he would have only gotten out for 8 hours to go to the halfway house, so he chose the bus trip so he could at least have 36 hours of freedom to go to the halfway house. But I think the last time I came on your show, we were all talking about how Ricky had a release date and they weren't going to adhere by it and all the games that they played. And I heard Ricky mention Congresswoman Waters. I like to just say what a great help she was. She really came to bat for Ricky there at the end.
That's right, Ricky. They were going to keep you in the slammer.
Yeah, they wasn't planning on letting me out. But, you know, you guys stood up and now I'm here, and you know what I'm saying? I hope you guys keep me up under your wing now. Don't let me out here by myself. Hey, because you know this country, they hold grudges.
Absolutely. You were trying to say something when we cut you off, Ricky.
I said that don't you guys leave me out here by myself. You know, these people, they hold grudges, and, you know, I'm going to continue to do what I do.
But before Kevin started talking, you were trying to say something to Kevin. Do you remember what that was?
What was I saying? Oh, good that you're on the show, Kev. I can't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, Kevin is a trailblazer, man. He's out here, you know, like I was saying, he's in South Central with his cameras, and sometimes I'll be worried about him. You know, I said, man, you got to be careful going over there, Kevin. I grew up over here. So, you know, they have a little white guy with a camera over here. You know.
Amazing. Kevin, you know, there's so many questions I've asked Ricky, and I want Ricky to, I mean, talk more about his experience in prison before that with the CIA. But Kevin, any questions you've got for Ricky?
Oh, you know, not really. I mean, we talk all the time, but it just, you know, once again, it just makes me happy to hear Ricky on the show finally and being able to express himself so well. And
I know, Kevin. Obviously, you talk to Ricky all the time. You guys are good friends. I'm saying any interesting questions for the radio listeners?
Well, you know, why don't you talk a little bit about the halfway house experience and you know, that whole process that you were forced to go through and how ridiculous that was.
Oh, yeah, that's another one, Alex. They expect us to go out in the halfway house. You know, now every place you go, you got to fill out a job application online, right? you would think that the halfway house would have computers, right?
Yes.
No computers, no cell phones. You can only go out at a certain time to look for a job. I mean, total BS. Guess how much they make a day for holding an inmate? $75, taxpayers' money.
And they call these places halfway house. It's a total joke. I mean, my brother was mentally ill, and he was in what I would consider a real halfway house, their actual houses. When I went to go see this place that they had Ricky in, these aren't halfway houses. These are like little mini prisons that are like just scattered all over our neighborhoods. I mean, this is like a little miniature prison. It was almost like a high school, the size of a high school, with 300 people sleeping there. In the middle of a neighborhood, you know, it's incredible. This is like a whole other scam taking place right under our noses.
And all the research shows, and I want Ricky to speak to this, just from personal experience, that when you put large populations of people in prison, especially for nonviolent crime, they become colleges of crime. The people now have a record. Now they're part of the criminal underworld, and this creates more and more crime. You know, police always send me emails and say, I'm glad we've got more people in prison than China or the whole EU combined. Well, no, I'm not glad, because I know that creates a culture of crime. Ricky.
Absolutely. You take young guys that come in prison and they only was, you know, buying $1,000 worth of drugs. Now he's with a kingpin from Colombia or from Mexico or with bank robbers. And these older guys, they feed off of these young kids. You know, like for me, I fed off of them too, but I was trying to teach them the things that I've been through. But a lot of times in prison, that doesn't happen. That's why they're so concerned right now with terrorism, because they know that they give these young kids so much time, Alex. You know, you give a kid 18, 19 years old, 20 years in prison, he's going to be bitter.
As we discussed in the new film, How Weed Won the West, there's an incarceration rate that actually the government's own research has shown, where when we hit a certain level of incarceration, it makes crime rates grow up.
Which is then more police to control more people, to make more money, to put more people in the prisons, as the military-industrial complex absorbs America. Ricky Ross, the naked body scanners, they want to put everybody through at airports, recording our naked bodies. I mean, we're all being trained to be prisoners.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if we don't stop it, Alex, if we don't stop it, we're not going to have any rights. They can tap our phones now whenever they want to. Your friends can come and record you. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, what is America coming through? Are we becoming a harmony?
It's amazing. Ricky, again, how do people support what you're doing with your community programs?
Well, they can donate money to us at freewayenterprise.com. They can contact me on there. I have my own email address. It's Rick Ross, RICKROSS, 90746@gmail.com. I definitely need help, because I'm trying to start programs here in South Central for the kids. I also need help with my traveling. You know, I'm putting it out of my check. You know, when I go across, around the country speaking to kids in different schools. We plan on doing a tour here in California where I go to like 20 schools and, you know, just educate the kids. And I would appreciate any help that I can get. And anybody that would like to volunteer to come out to the schools and support would be much appreciated.
And you're explaining to children that the drug culture is evil and designed to destroy them, correct?
Absolutely. And that just because they feel that they're going against the government by selling drugs is just what the government have in mind. You know, they have us thinking that by selling drugs, you're rebelling against the government. But that's exactly what the government wants you to think. It's like a reverse psychology thing that they've done to the kids, because most of the kids that get involved with drugs consider themselves rebels.
Absolutely. And in truth, you're funding the big banks, and you're allowing them to now have a pretext to control and run your life and destroy your communities.
And I'd like I've been lucky enough to travel with Ricky on at least one of the trips that he went to. And I just want to say what an incredible effect he has to go to a place like a detention center where you've got a bunch of teenagers who they won't listen to anybody. But when Ricky walks in the room, they definitely all shut up and they listen to every word he has to say. And it's really, really quite moving to see it in person.
I've got some questions here. From listeners, here's a Twitter question, Ricky. What okay. other illegal activities was your CIA supplier involved with to give himself credibility to hook you in? I mean, how did they keep you from knowing it was the CIA?
Guns, hand grenades, automatic, fully automatic weapons, machine guns.
So the CIA wasn't just bringing in cocaine, they were bringing in guns.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. And then the public gets even more scared, and they get to get more police to then control the public.
And they got all this firepower. You know, remember? And then they need more time. Remember, they increased the minimum mandatory. Well, now we need minimum mandatory so we can put them in prison longer because these guys are more violent than they used to be. Well,
you know,
they gave them guns.
That's come out in Florida, the CIA was supplying, and I knew in Texas. But so this CIA handler, and this came out in hearings and in court, folks, was also supplying weapons, which
yeah,
he was...
told them they used to sell me weapons.
Didn't they used to have a front as, like, some sort of car place or something, some sort of car dealership?
They had a car dealership. They had a security thing where they did security for different people. And, you know, they had a bunch of different fronts.
Ricky, so this whole time you were working for them, they kept it secret that they were CIA, or did you ever hear that, or did you ever wonder?
No, I never knew. I never had a clue. Only thing that I knew, Alex, is that they were fighting a war in their country. I did know that. I knew that much about it. That's what they had told me many times. That's why they stole drugs.
Oh, so they admitted to you that they were funding a war in their country.
Right. They admitted that. Now, where the war was at, I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about Nicaragua. I knew nothing about Contras, nor the CIA at that time.
Did you know how they were getting the drugs into Southern California?
Nope. They wouldn't tell me that. Well, you know, he was a racist and a bigot, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Gary found a tape that they had where he said, just like you said, you know, give it to the end, you know, nobody cares what happens to him.
Yeah, I think there's that soundbite of him actually in American Drug War where he says, you know, I hate the ends, but they deal in cash, so let's use them.
That's exactly what I think you hit it right on the head, Kevin. Mm-hmm.
And again, folks, you can get American Drug War and How the Weed Won the West at InfoWars.com. This film is out. You can get it half price when you order How Weed Won the West, which comes out in 12 days at InfoWars.com. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And Alex, guess what? The courts wouldn't let us play that tape to the jury. They let this guy testify against me and said that tape had absolutely nothing to do with his testimony.
Him saying we're dealing drugs to the N-words.
Right. And don't nobody care about him. And that he didn't like them. Because I never heard the tape because the judge wouldn't let us play the tape in court.
Well, for 150 years, it's been on record that the prostitution, the gambling, the drug dealing is allowed in the poor areas, especially the black.
No one knows what it's like to be the bad man, to be the sad man behind blue eyes. No one knows what it's like.
In 2 years of his career as one of the biggest drug dealers in U.S. history, Ricky Ross made $500 million, or $500 million conservatively, went through his hands. And he was just one of the larger conduits to put it on the street. They only bust the middle size and small drug dealers. 80%+ of illegal drug users only use marijuana. If you decriminalize that, it wounds their phony drug war that the drug cartels controlled by our government are taking over the planet with. If you decriminalize, you shut off the CIA's main funding mechanism and the fake war they're using to take over America. Your comments on that, Ricky Ross?
I got like 10 more minutes.
Ricky Ross? He's got guys talking to him in the background. Ricky.
Yeah.
What would it do to the CIA if we decriminalized drugs?
Oh, man, it would take a big bite out of their budget. You know, they couldn't no longer raise funds that Congress and the rest of the country knows about. You know, with illegal drugs, they can get money that's non-traceable. You know, nobody knows where it comes from. Nobody knows that this person was paid off or that person was paid off. You know, it's just free money.
3 weeks ago, Ron Paul gave a speech documenting that the CIA has had a coup in America and already runs our country.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I believe that's probably true. I mean, because the people are not standing up, you know, and until the people take charge, you know, somebody's going to run it. And, you know, the people with money, you know, that's what they want money for.
But it's so obvious that criminal elements in government made drugs illegal because their alcohol prohibition had ended, and they wanted a new black market to take over with.
I agree. I totally agree with that. And drugs was a perfect venue for that.
And we're now 70-plus years into the drug war, and the bigger the drug war gets, Ricky, the more drugs we got on the street. Why is that?
Well, I mean, it's like this here, Alex. There's no way that they can win this drug war. Drugs, if somebody wants to get high, Alex, they're going to get high. You know, a guy OD'd when I was in the hole at a maximum security prison. A guy OD'd in the hole. He's in a cell by himself, no other inmate contact. How did this happen? How could he be in the hole and OD'd?
The jail guards are selling him the drugs.
Exactly. Somebody's going to get it to him. And usually it's the people of authority.
Which is why they want to keep it illegal, and they want to get 50% of kids, according to the New Freedom Initiative, on Prozac and Ritalin, which are even more dangerous than other narcotics.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I mean, a lot of those drugs, and it's been proven, too, that children who take those drugs at an early age will be more susceptible to becoming addicted to things like crystal meth, cocaine, crack, and on and on.
Well, it's so obvious, and the government is a bunch of drug-dealing crooks who want to make us all drug addicts. The only thing we can do is decriminalize now. Look at Mexico collapsing, Ricky Ross, because of the drug war.
Exactly. And the drug lords run the country because they have all the money. They're draining all the money out of the economy. And the same thing is happening here in America. I mean, the people, the black market is killing us all the way around.
That's how the British brought down China, was bringing drugs in.
Yeah. Nobody wins from a drug war. I'm totally convinced of that. It's no way that anybody wins except the authorities.
The bankers.
And the bankers.
Mm-hmm. So which are the authority?
They're going to continue to push this makeshift war on us and keep stealing the money out of our education system and all the other places that needs money. They're going to continue to rob them.
Ricky, fire out your website for folks. We're coming back with five final minutes with you. Give folks your website, Ricky. Is Freeway Enterprise the only one to go to?
www.freewayenterprise.com.
FreewayEnterprises.com, FreewayEnterprise.com. Ricky Ross is our guest. We'll put his website up on screen for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, so when they're on the web, they'll know the bona fide Ricky Ross website. Really is a pop legend, and we just appreciate that he's here with us fighting the New World Order, exposing the drug war for what it is, because in How Weed Won the West that we're selling at InfoWars.com, Kevin went and interviewed street drug dealers that do not want the marijuana dispensaries. They do not want it decriminalized. You know, the ground level drug dealers, not just of marijuana, but other more hardcore drugs, they want to keep it illegal, don't they, Ricky?
Absolutely. I mean, when you start legalizing it, you cut into their money. And they don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, as you were saying earlier, that, you know, 80% of all illegal drug users only smoke marijuana, so if you take all those people and they start going to these legal dispensaries, then you're destroying the whole market for all sides of the fraud.
Alex, when you take all that money out of it, you also take the violence out, because most of the violence comes from people trying to rob the people with all the money.
Because it costs so much and they can't legally get it. And this is well known. The British took down China on record by bringing opium in. The government had it illegal. They brought it in, bought off the cities, took over the whole country, and then broke China up in 11 pieces. The globalists are doing this now. CIA got caught in Vietnam bringing in the opium. Ricky Ross, look at Afghanistan. Now it's 13 times the previous record level of heroin pouring out into the world with the CIA and the Pentagon openly protecting it.
I saw that on the news a few times a couple years ago, how since we went over and took over the country that it's gotten worse. I mean, that's just another example. But now what are we going to do, Alex? Are we just going to sit around? Are our people going to stand up and take the White House back?
Right now here in Los Angeles, they're trying to shut down the 1,000 legal dispensaries we have. They're trying to get it down to like 70 or something, which is going to create this incredible consolidation and make some of the dispensaries are, you know, it's going to drive the price.
It won't be able to supply the market, and then the illegalness will continue and the crime will continue. Ricky, you're talking about education, too. The hundreds of billions in the fake drug war into education.
Absolutely. I mean, if we educate the people, then they won't need to go out and use drugs. Most people that use drugs are uneducated.
Kevin, you're going to have a screening of How Weed Won the West, which isn't out until the 15th, ships here on DVD at InfoWars.com. You are having a viewing. Tell folks real fast.
Right. This is at the Organica dispensary that's actually in the film. It gets busted in the film. And this is on Saturday, February 13th, around 7 p.m. It's in Venice Beach on 13456 Washington Boulevard in Venice, Organica dispensary, February 13th.
All right. And what's worse is, these are legal under state law, but the feds come in and beat them up and smash and then steal the money and the weed, and you never even hear where it went. I mean, the feds are so corrupt, and the locals are doing it now. They just openly keep the money.
Yeah. I mean, it's in your face. That's all you can say. It's
Ricky, last question. From your deep research on this, I mean, and just experiencing it, what percentage of cops on average would you say are crooked that are involved in narcotics?
Oh, man, it's so many. You know, my whole task force, you know, I took down 35 crooked cops. They were robbing us, playing drugs on us. You know, they came up with a game that if they come in your house and you have a bunch of money, the easiest way to get you not to claim the money is to plant some drugs on you. You know, because drug dealers had stopped keeping money and drugs in the same house because they knew that if they didn't have any drugs there, the money was okay.
Yeah, that's something we didn't go into is the Ricky Ross Task Force and the fact that some of the guys on the Ricky Ross Task Force are still in jail.
Look, we're out of time, but Ricky, I want to have you back up just to tell some of the incredible war stories and corrupt cop stories that you witnessed. Can we do that in a month or so?
You call me, Alex. Anytime you call me, I'll be there. Wherever it's at, as long as the government let me come, you know I'm still on parole, so I have to get permission from them to travel. But you call me, and I'm coming.
We're going to have you back on soon. Kevin's back on next week with some other witnesses to the drug war. FreewayEnterprise.com. Get How Weed Won the West and American Drug War at InfoWars.com. Ricky Ross, Kevin Booth, thank you both for coming on and having the courage to do what you're doing.
Thanks, Alex, for having us. And you keep doing what you're doing. You're fighting a good war. I just hope that your listeners take action. And let's take this country back, you know what I'm saying, and put it back the way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely. God bless you. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are going to plumb the depths of evil, the mindset of the elite. They don't just bring the narcotics in. They don't just push Ritalin and Prozac and other deadly drugs on kids and pregnant women and dangerous vaccines. They revel in corruption. They revel in who can be the most wicked, the most evil, the most psychopathic, the most sociopathic. Depleted uranium is used at proving sites all over the United States and all over the world. It's now being used in even smaller rifle munitions, not just Abrams tank Sabo rounds or Vulcan Warthog cannons in A-10s or in Hellfire missiles. It's being put into most munitions now. And the troops are dying. They've known for decades it's causing deformities, just like they knew in secret reports that have been declassified recently in the 60s that Agent Orange was going to literally fry the testicles of men and make them have deformed children. And, I mean, this is what's going on. We're going to talk to Dr. Doug Rocky here in a moment, who literally wrote the Army manuals for them on DU. They know what they're doing. They don't care about our troops. They say caring about the troops is putting them in all these fraudulent wars. So I want to get into what DU's doing. The Iraqi government suing the U.S. over this. And we haven't talked to Dr. Rocky in over a year. I want to get all the latest developments from him. Before we go to Dr. Doug Rocky for the balance of the hour, I want to go over some of the sponsors that have made this radio show possible and who I really believe in. One of them is Akola Blue, akolablue.com. And they have great atmospheric water generators, big ones that can supply hundreds or even thousands of people, little ones that do 7.5, 8 gallons a day, a Cola Blue 30, a Cola Blue 28. They've already shipped one of their giant units and a bunch of small ones with the Convoy of Hope to Haiti. 20% of your purchase goes towards that. Check out a Cola Blue atmospheric water generators today, the cleanest, best water. Their 28 has 7 filters on it, reverse osmosis carbon, keeps it in a stainless steel tank, grabs it out of the air. The Cola Blue 30 has 12 filters. They've got a bunch of special deals running. ColaBlue.com or 800-691-6043, 800-691-6043. Another sponsor is eFoodsDirect.com, the highest quality storable foods available bar none. They have ready-to-eat gourmet-style meals, non-GMO. They have organic food lines. They have just so many. This is the place to get food, and they make it new every month. You know, this stuff's usually just a few weeks old when you get it. The max a month. I mean, this is the big dog. This is the quality people. I did research for my own preparedness because I don't trust the system for the depression and the rest of it, and this is who I went with, and this is who I'm happy with because I tried some others and didn't like it. eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633. Call them, get a free catalog. 800-409-5633. And finally, I want to plug frontsight.com, like the front of your rifle. It's not enough to have a bunch of ammo and guns to protect yourself from criminals and government and all the stuff that's going on. You need to be trained. And it's out in Pahrump, Nevada. It's the biggest private firearms training facility. No drill instructor, tough guy attitudes. It's family. And it's frontsight.com. You can get 5 days of world-class gun training, very inexpensive, and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, and get a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice, frontsight.com. That's frontsight.com. Okay, going to Dr. Doug Rocky. What this evil system does is it uses its authority of the government and the system to do outrageous things and then just set the precedent. Government's caught drug dealing literally thousands of times. The drug war continues. But though people are starting to wake up, the government's caught engaged in all forms of corruption. The banks are robbing us. They just continue. The vaccine makers are caught maiming people. The corruption continues. The DU being used all over the world now and in proving grounds all over the U.S. so incredibly deadly. And they knew in the late 40s it was deadly. They knew in the 80s and in the early 90s when Dr. Doug Rocky wrote the book, the manual for the Pentagon and the Army. They knew how deadly it was. And now they just say, look, when we attack a military base in Iraq or somewhere, we move troops in a week later, have them move right in next to blast points with the DU. We have people without protective gear clearing up tanks and stuff we've destroyed with it, knowing it's going to really hurt them. And it's hurt Dr. Rocky. Many of his colleagues have died just involved in studying this stuff and in cleanups. So this gives you a window into the minds of the controllers. Dr. Doug Rocky is a depleted uranium expert, a BS in physics at the Western Illinois University, followed by his MS and PhD in physics and technology education at the University of Illinois. His military career has spanned 4 decades to include combat duty during Vietnam and Gulf War I. He served as a member of the 3rd U.S. Army Medical Command's Nuclear Biological Chemical Teaching Medical Response and Special Operations Team, 3rd U.S. Army Captured Equipment Project Team, and with the 3rd U.S. Army Depleted Uranium Assessment Team, Gulf War Operation Desert Storm. This thing's 5 pages long, folks. He was the U.S. Army's Depleted Uranium Project Director from 94 to 95. He developed the congressionally mandated education training manuals and wrote the U.S. Army Regulation 700-48. The U.S. Army PAM 700-48, and the U.S. Army's Command Task for DU Incidents. He is the DU expert, and they won't even allow the manuals to be given to officers and troops. They march them in to die. That's who your government is. So don't give me, when I'm against new wars, that I don't care about the troops. Killing our troops isn't taking care of them. And the murderers that run this system wrap themselves in our troops' heroism. I'm sorry I'm ranting, Dr. Rocky. And I want you to give out the websites. I mean, I literally didn't even get into your bio here. There's so much. But just to watch this evil set the precedent. And to, I mean, what is it like for you to see this, the use of DU going wild?
Well, I mean, it's a continuous thing, considering that the United States Army friendly fire casualties from Operation Desert Storm, who became casualties as a direct result of the use of uranium munitions fired by military personnel against our own military personnel to this day have still not got the medical care that I ordered as a theater health physicist that was ordered by the theater medical commander, General D.Z. Zulus in Desert Storm 1991, and it's still not being provided. And today, what bothers me the most is General Eric Shinseki is now the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. He wrote the original order mandating medical care, environmental cleanup, and training in 1993. He signed the Army regulation that I wrote that you already quoted, and we're not getting the care that we earned. It's real simple. They just do not want to provide medical care to U.S. military personnel because you have to understand the million or so casualties we have now from the nonsense of the Persian Gulf are not as a result of bullets and bombs. They are the result of toxic exposures, primarily uranium munitions, oil well fires, pesticides, hazardous materials, and everything else.
And blowing up Kamacia, the one of the biggest chemical weapons dumps in the world, and they know, and they just don't care.
But you have to understand, Kamacia was only one that we blew up. We blew up 105 of them. We made the decision to blow up all the chemical and biological weapons facilities that Iraq possessed in December of 1990. And that was because we, the U.S. military, and specifically the U.S. Army, gave them anthrax, weaponized anthrax. So we had to destroy it in place. And if anybody has any question as to whether or not we did it or not, all they have to do is go to General Norman Schwarzkopf's autobiography. It doesn't take a hero, and go to page 390 and read about it. The arrogance of these guys is beyond comprehension.
And then they did the brain studies from the chemical weapons, killing troops en masse. When you talk about a million casualties, break that down for us.
Well, when we look at a million casualties, what we are seeing, that's right now, for example, CBS News 60 Minutes did a story on this on January 3rd. And they, you know, they broadcast it. And Paul, God bless Paul Sullivan from Vets for Common Concern, you know, Common Sense, he was the one that pushed that through. But what CBS News 60 Minutes confirmed on January 3rd in their story was delay, deny, and wait till I die. In other words, what we will do, the military, the Department of Defense, and the VA will do, will deny any correlation between all the adverse health and environmental effects from all these toxic exposures, specifically uranium munitions, deny medical care for it, delay any treatment that you do get if you are lucky to get it, and just wait till you die. And the number of family members and everybody else and the soldiers involved and everybody, they never stop calling for help. It's every day. It never
and the deformities
stops.
Of the troops, their children, the deformities of the Iraqis, the Serbs, the Afghans, and I know you've got the numbers on this, but is it not an exponential increase year to year in the amount of DU being served out by armories?
Incredible amount. I mean, the United States gives this stuff away to anybody and everybody that will take it, and then we use it against all known targets. I mean, during Desert Storm, we use it against the armor effectively, all the tanks and the trucks and everything else. But we also shot up the bunkers and everything else. And then when we went into the Balkans in 1994, we shot up buildings and everything. Again, in the Balkans in 1991, this is in the old Yugoslavia. And Pekka Aviso, who was head of the United Nations, he actually told the U.S. Department of Defense to clean up all of these facilities they shot up. And then we continued Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan and Iraq. We have literally, with uranium munitions, and I've got total video, total reports, we've got all of this stuff, no questions, photographs, shot up apartment buildings, hospitals, water treatment facilities, sewage sanitation plants, plus all the cars and trucks you could ever imagine. And this stuff is so extraordinarily effective. They talked about it originally when it was used for armor, but it's far more effective against a conventional house or an apartment building or a water facility than it is against a tank, because there ain't any tanks left to shoot.
And then our troops move into the areas they've blown to bits.
That's correct. Our troops move in, and then they're not even provided the mandatory respiratory and skin protection that is required by the U.S. Army regulation and the U.S. technical bulletin provides all the specifications. But more important, the fact that our Department of Defense, the British Ministry of Defense, the Canadians and the Australians and the Israelis, I mean, you have to understand, those are the five countries that use this. They use it without hesitation. Completely and totally disregard what the specifications are.
Stay there, Dr. Rocky. I mean, basically, you might as well, after our troops have had a war, line them all up and shoot them. I mean, that's the equivalent of this. But when they come home and die, all the people singing God Bless America, they don't want to talk to them. Just get in the coffin, shut up, and... We're not going to open the phones up for Dr. Doug Rocky. The best way for you to send your questions is twitter.com/TheRealAlexJones. That's our Twitter account. There's a lot of other great Alex Jones fan sites, but that's our official Twitter account. Also, yeah, Real Alex Jones, not The Real Alex Jones. So twitter.com/RealAlexJones. Going back to Dr. Doug Rocky, one of the top experts in the world on DU, even according to the Pentagon, who he worked for, Dr. Rocky, let's talk about the real health effects and the studies and what they've known DU does and how it's a toxic byproduct of spent fuel rods from nuclear reactors. But more importantly, I want to ask you now about the mindset of the elite. I mean, they had DU in the 40s and 50s, and there were I saw papers where they talked about it as a weapon, and they said, we can't use it because it kills our own personnel and people that move into the areas. What changed in the mindset where they wouldn't use it in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and now it's just... We're going to use it at local shooting ranges for the military. We're going to use it in Hawaii. We're going to use it in Puerto Rico. We're going to tell the troops it's okay and watch them die. I mean, this is psychopathic murder.
Yes, it is. It's just the fact that they made the decision that human life had no value, that animals had no value, that food has no value, and they just made a conscious decision, and I've been fighting this since I did all the research for them, the Nevada test site, wrote the directives. They just don't care. But as you said, the health and environmental effects of all this have always been known. I mean, my own medical care for my depleted uranium exposures because of my assigned duties, one of the things I forced it with was the original 1973 report on the use of uranium munitions by Israelis against the Egyptians in the Sinai. And all of that stuff was known then. It was documented there in the official reports. Again, these are not classified, but they just totally there and they totally ignored. Prior to Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom, Colonel J. Edgar Wakayama, who's the director of the U.S. Department of Defense Operational Test and Evaluation Command, gave a briefing to all the senior generals and everybody in the Pentagon upon depleted uranium, how it works, what it is, the fact that the munitions, as you said, go all the way down to the M16 rifle, 50 cal, everything all the way up. But in this briefing, he stated very specifically, I'm going to quote very, very specifically, depleted uranium munitions, when used, okay, they emit alpha, beta, and gamma particle and X-rays. The alpha particle taken inside the body in large doses is hazardous, producing cell damage and cancer. Quote, lung cancer is well documented. We continue on, beta particle is hazardous to the skin and the lens of the eye. Now, personally, I've learned that because of all my radiation cataracts and the other problems with the eyes, and everybody else is reporting it. It continues on very, very, quote, I mean, very, very direct, and it says, DU is chemically toxic. We look at all this stuff. We have total confirmation. Quote, urine samples containing uranium are mutagenic as determined by the Ames test. The cultured human stem bone cell line with DU also transformed the cells that become carcinogenic. That's the reason why we're seeing so incredible levels, I mean, incredible levels of leukemia in these all these young kids coming back from Desert Storm, but we're also seeing leukemia in the children, the offspring of those who were exposed during Desert Storm.
Because just like fluoride, the particle's so small, doctor, correct me if I'm wrong, it precipitates into the bone.
That's correct. There is no respiratory skin protection that'll work. Even though when we did all this work for the military, the Department of Energy gave us their best respirators, the Army gave us their best respirators, it went through it like an open barn door. It absolutely does it. One of the big problems, quote from the Wakayama briefing, I'm going to read this because it's astonishing, they know and they disregard it. The three major routes of human exposure to DU are wounding by shrapnel, inhalation, lungs and thoracic lymph nodes, ingestions, most among children playing and eating contaminated soil and contaminated drinking water and food in the community, end quote. That is what we're seeing throughout Iraq.
And that's from what year?
Pardon me?
What year was that report?
This is a briefing to the senior Pentagon leadership in 2002 before the start of Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom.
And again, I'm going from memory interviewing you and others and reading mainstream news, but I saw reports in the 50s it was a secret weapon they were only going to use if the Russians flooded into Eastern Europe, but they said we still don't advise because it ruins the area for billions of years. I mean, they know this. It's just so incredible. And they know, I mean, I see the numbers of troops coming back and dropping dead and getting cancer and getting leukemia and other blood cancers, and they know it's killing them. I mean, this is, we ought to make all these generals go into the proving grounds and snort a line of DU if it's so good.
When I specifically talk to the generals in Washington, D.C., as I've done in the last few weeks, and ask them very specifically for help in getting medical care, environmental remediation, they just say, go to your congressman, the senator, we're not going to help you.
And I noticed those troops, troops have told me, and I've seen in the news, the generals won't stay in these bombed out buildings like they tell the troops to. And notice none of these generals want to stay in Iraq very long. Dr. Rocky, long segment coming up. Roll through the documents for people, because all you folks out there that claim you love the troops so much and stick American flags on your...
I say I shot the sheriff, but I swear it was in self-defense.
We had Dr. Wolfgang Wodrog on in the second hour of the radio show today. Right at the start of the show, we had Judge Andrew Napolitano on government staged terror attacks and a lot more. We had Fair Ricky Ross on CIA drug dealing and then Dr. Doug Rocky. So when this show ends in T-minus 26 and a half minutes, the restreams at Infowars.com will have Judge Andrew Napolitano and more coming up. And that was powerful. And I covered all the neocons telling Obama, we need a new war to get your approval rating up. We need new staged terror attacks. I mean, what a bizarre headline out of Philadelphia Daily News. 1 month after the anniversary, I'm thinking about another 9/11 would help America. I mean, that's Stu Bykofsky. These are bizarre people right out in the open. Now, I got cut off by the break. I usually nail it, but I went over. I was trying to make the point that all these people that stick stickers on their cars and talk about how much they love the troops, they just like to go to football games, put their hand on their heart and cry. And to them, patriotism's more wars, more death, more tyranny, more enslavement. I mean, it must be, because DU is well known. It's killing our sons and daughters. It's killing the people, the innocent people we bomb with it years after. Dr. Rocky, I mean, what's the half-life of depleted uranium? How long is it deadly?
Longer than the age of the Earth. I mean, one half-life is 4.5 billion years, and you have to go through 10 half-lives, so that's 45 billion years to even think about it being safe radiologically.
So 45 billion years, and last number I had was at least 10 proving grounds in the U.S. are using this just all over the place, and they've just gotten to the point where they don't even tell the troops there's any danger.
That's correct, but one of the most, and we've talked about this before, on the 18th of April of 75, hardly a man is left alive. Our nation was born at Concord, Massachusetts in 1775. Concord, Massachusetts is the site of the Starmet depleted uranium munitions plant that's been closed, and it has incredible environmental and medical disasters as a consequence of that. And when you look at what's happened, it goes back, and again, here is a direct quote from the Wakayama briefing for the emerging environmental concerns include, quote, a significant exposure to depleted uranium among children playing at impact sites by ingesting heavily contaminated soil, slow leaching of depleted uranium in the local water supplies for years, and consuming depleted uranium contaminated food and sources, animals, and plants, end quote. So with all of these things that we know what's going to happen, if you're a injured, ill, wounded veteran, or you've got cross-contaminated from the stuff being brought back to the United States or Europe, wherever you are, you cross-contaminated your family, the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs in Vision 11, this is the region here that takes in East Central Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, the director, Barbara Hyduke, totally acknowledges that, quote, these, and I'm going to quote this exactly, read it exactly. Some of the physical symptoms which occur as a result of exposure to depleted uranium are sleep problems, mood swings, symptoms in upper and lower respiratory system, neuropsychological symptoms including memory loss, chronic fatigue, immune dysfunction syndrome, skin rashes, unusual hair loss, aching joints, headaches, abdominal pain, sensitivity to light, blurred vision, menstrual disorders, gastrointestinal symptoms, recurrent diarrhea and constipation, nervous systems disorders such as numbness in a limb, multiple chemical sensitivity, and birth defects in children whose parents were exposed, end quote. It's that, I mean, within their own documents, they thoroughly, totally acknowledge it, okay?
And Dr. Rocky, what about all the mainstream reports I've seen of radiation detectors worldwide, especially during a new war, picking it up in the atmosphere?
That is absolutely correct. Dr. Chris Busby, Professor Chris Busby in England, who is probably one of the world's leading, if not the world's leading experts on low-level radioactivity, thoroughly confirmed that the contamination from the Middle East reached Northern Europe and England, thoroughly confirmed it without any question whatsoever. And so we're seeing all of this stuff. And as a consequence from all of this, okay, we have to come back to the requirements for the Department of the Defense. General Eric Shinseki, when he was a commanding general, signed and mandated U.S. Army Regulation 700-48 that I wrote, my team wrote. He, in this regulation, what it requires, quote, during peacetime or soon as operational risk permits, the Corps, Joint Task Force, Division Commander's Radiation Safety Officer will identify, segregate, isolate, secure, and label all radiologically contaminated equipment. Procedures to minimize the spread of activity will be implemented as soon as, you know, immediately, as soon as possible. We continue on this stuff. The requirement is to take care and get rid of all the explosives, all of the hazardous material stuff that must be done. But when we come on down to the real fundamental stuff on handling all of this stuff, okay, every individual in the Army has the responsibility to do it properly in the personnel well. Quote, all equipment to include captured or combat radioactive equipment will be surveyed, packaged, retrograded, and decontaminated and released in accordance with the technical bulletin 9-1300-278, the Army pamphlet 700-48, which is procedures manual and other relevant guidance.
But they don't do that. They don't follow their own rules.
They don't follow their own rules at all. And the other thing, too, that bothers me the most, and this has happened over and over again because they're doing this in the United States, just burning and blowing it up and whatever, quote, radioactive material and waste will not be locally disposed of through burial, submersion, incineration, and destruction, replace, or abandonment. And they just do it continuously without any hesitation.
So really, you have the nuclear weapons and nuclear power plant industry, and they're just seeding their waste everywhere that has a 40-plus billion-year half-life. People thousands of years from now will be being killed by this if we last that long as a species. Again, Dr. Rocky, what does it say? I'm going to warn PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. I'm going to put some images. We saw a doubling, tripling, now quadrupling of deformities in the areas where it was used in Kosovo, in Iraq, and in other areas. What does it say about the generals and the politicians and the companies that they know their kids are breathing this? They know they're breathing it. They know it's getting into the water. They know, and they just don't care. They wouldn't do this until the early 90s. What changed? What is the mindset of these people? But I'm going to be putting images of these deformed babies up. And then I want to ask you, Dr. Rocky, about fighting back against this, because you look at graphs of the use of DU, it's going up parabolically straight up, as you know. The good news is the Iraqis are now suing the U.S. for using this and not cleaning it up, as if you could clean it up. So maybe, talk about solutions to fight this.
Well, the other thing, too, is not only the Iraqis are bringing this up, and rightfully so, but the residents of Vieques in Puerto Rico also bringing this up. And then I just literally got, just right before we came on the air, you know, uranium munitions, as you said, have been used extensively in contaminated Hawaii, Schofield Barracks on Oahu, and then Pokoloa training area. And the U.S. Army and Nuclear Regulatory Commission a few weeks ago said the residents of Hawaii have no standing to object or demand cleanup or medical care. And what happened here a couple days ago, CNN did a whole report on Vieques and how we thoroughly contaminated that area, caused all the medical problems, and walked away. And then now what I heard just a few minutes ago before we went on the air is CNN has now contacted the residents of Hawaii and said, okay, guys, what's happening? Do you need help? But you have to understand, the senior leadership in the Department of Defense and the U.S. Army and the Marines, the Navy, thoroughly, totally disregard the health and environmental effects. They do not provide the training. They do not clean it up after it's used. And then what happens is the men, the women, and the children are all affected. They can't get the medical care that they've earned because it's denied, delayed, and they die. Or if they do get in for medical care, which has happened personally to me and my guys right here in Danville, Illiana VA Medical Center in Danville, Illinois, they just deny any correlation. And if we get a doctor or somebody who starts helping us, they immediately get transferred or fired.
Now, I want to say that I told them to just go online and type in Deformed Babies DU, and they went to mindfully.org, which is one I hadn't even looked at. I looked at major news sites, and these were so horrible, I told them to stop putting them up there. But if people want to go look at them, it's mindfully.org. I mean, it's just, and they admit it's causing deformities. I mean, this is so hellish that yeah. I can't even look at it.
Let's look at, you said about 911. Okay, 911 was black operations, but what is really horrific to me personally is the individuals that I trained from the New York Police and Fire years, before 911 to go and do emergency rescue on hazardous materials, nuclear, biological, chemical warfare, explosives. You have to understand the Army tasked me to train them, the New York Emergency Services Unit personnel. Those guys that went in there then got out, and they became members of the New York Army National Guard 442nd Military Police Unit. They were then sent over to Iraq. They got exposed. They started getting sick. The children they were conceived were born with birth defects. When those heroes of New York Police and Fire asked for medical care, the Army denied it. When they tried to sue it, they came up and said, you can't sue us. You have no standing because of Paris Doctrine. In other words, you guys are out of luck. In other words, you're just going to have to walk away, ignore your medical care that we already require but we don't provide you, and just so sorry about your children. We really don't care.
Well, I can't even look at this. I mean, I was talking about mainstream news articles showing the deformed children. They went and found a news site, Mindfully, that I'm aware of, and I couldn't even look at it. I mean, and then I remember back after the first Gulf War, the cover of Life Books, a Life magazine, was admitting the DU was causing deformities, and it showed the deformed U.S. kids. I mean,
it's all been there for years, and you have to understand, every internal briefing we have, every report that we've ever had, thoroughly acknowledges it. When General Schwarzkopf was ordered, I have to repeat, the Pentagon leadership ordered General Schwarzkopf to find me and tell me to clean up depleted uranium during Desert Storm. So his chief of staff wrote the order, and, off I went again, but hey, being a career military and, lover of America and everything, okay, we'll go do it. And today, all of us are affected, but, I kind of come back and say, if I didn't do the work, nobody else would. What made the change is as I finished the work as the director of the U.S. Army Depleted Uranium Project, what ended up being not only for the U.S. Army, it ended up being for the Army, Navy, Coast Guard, and Marines, but I also had a German officer, a Canadian officer, an Australian officer assigned to me. Okay? So we're working all together to get it all done, and we're acknowledging everything, finding all the problems. And I had the total realization after we did the research in the Nevada test site, Mercury, Nevada, you can't clean it up. There is no medical care. There is no way to protect everybody. And I came out and told them they can't ever use it again. Well, you know how fast do you become persona non grata when you tell somebody you can't use their favorite weapon?
How do we stop the use of this? How do we fight back?
Well, it's very simple. It is a war against, it's a crime against God and a crime against humanity. And we need to have those individuals accountable for whatever they do. Everybody is supposed to be trained. Everybody knows what the hazards are. The senior leadership totally disregards it. We need to restore order. We need to restore confidence in our nation. We need to restore go back to the Constitution and what's right under God, not what somebody needs to do to kill, destroy, to maim in order to seize terrain, resources, or control people. We have to go back to the fundamentals. What is right? What should we do? I mean, when we destroy a nation's infrastructure to release all these toxic chemical compounds, or we take all our trash as we're doing in Iraq and we burn it in open pits, resulting in incredible thousands and thousands of U.S. casualties who are denied care, this is called the toxic burn pit problem. You can read about it on ArmyTimes.com website or all over. We need to hold these people accountable and tell them enough is enough. I mean, If we have a viable threat and an enemy that's going to attack us, you have to be understand, as a military guy, I'm going to be the first in the line to shoot the guy, okay? The real enemy. But we cannot continue to contaminate air, water, soil, and food, disregard the environmental contamination, thoroughly disregard the fact that we already ordered medical care for this and acknowledge it, but to the sick soldier or their family member or the civilian, we tell them, there's no problem. We can do what we want to do.
Well, it's our own troops. If even if people love killing Iraqi children or Serb children and think it's cute, I mean, this is our own troops we're doing this to. It wasn't acceptable until 1991. Why did it suddenly in the last 19 years become acceptable to engage in wars against humanity, crimes against humanity of mass murder? I mean, there's no doubt they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I don't have the answers to that because, you know, when I started yelling and screaming about it, they got very nasty. You know, one thing we do know from the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs report, and you've seen these, what they do is statistical analysis of the various casualties in the age groups and what's happening in the war. With Operation Iraqi Freedom, this matches Desert Storm, this matches 100% the New York police and fire that went into the World Trade Center, matches completely to the police and fire that went into the Pentagon on that day. We're looking at 12% infectious and parasitic diseases. We've got 1% absolute cancers. We've got 4% benign cancers. Endocrine nutritional metabolic problems at 23%. When we look at leukemias, we're looking at 3% leukemias among young kids, which never should have them. All of the
I've talked to a lot of medical doctors, Dr. Rocky, and they say that 30 years ago, finding a kid with cancer in a ward was like finding a leprechaun, it was incredibly rare. And that now it's just cancer everywhere. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah, kids just get cancer like they get the flu now.
Yeah, and then the PTSD is at 50%. We look at the neurological problems. We're looking at 37%, and that's actually gone up. And it's thoroughly reported. I mean, in the most recent report that came out in Army Times and, again, about the casualties, they're thoroughly acknowledging that the most evacuations out of Iraq and Afghanistan have nothing to do with bullets and bombs. There are all these toxic exposures resulting in incredible neurological, respiratory, and cardiac problems.
Well, Dr. Rocky, did you see the MIAC and Homeland Security reports last year where they admit Homeland Security is really set up for returning veterans, gun owners, libertarians, conservatives? And I know the globalists are a bunch of bloodthirsty eugenicists. I know they hate the troops because they're a bunch of globalists. And I believe they actually like this. They don't just not care and know about it. They like it. They like that this is happening to the troops because it's a soft kill weapon. They're done with them. They've served them. They want to get rid of them. We know they won't give them treatment.
I mean, that is the most frightening thing. And again, as you said, all the flag waivers, it bothers me the most. You know, the people in the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion, disabled American veterans, when you specifically ask them in the community, will you help us get medical care? Will you take us to an appointment? How about acknowledging what has really happened here with these incredible casualties, not from bullets and bombs or toxic exposures? Man, they run the other way. They run so fast in the other direction.
Yeah, they're cowards. I mean, if George Bush or Obama doesn't tell them to do it at a baseball game, they're not going to do it.
Well, most people prefer to just sit there and have a six-pack of beer and watch a football game rather than do something that's meaningful to help somebody to clean up.
Even as their son comes back and his wife has two deformed kids, and then the one that lives gets leukemia, and they wonder why their grandkid's dying.
Yeah, and, you know, we've seen this forever. I mean, you know, one of my best friends that I served with in Vietnam, his son died as a result of the consequence of his father's, you know, Agent Orange exposure. And then, you know, we're seeing
that. Same thing with my uncle. Same thing, Agent Orange, their son died, I guess it was at 3, holes in his heart, everything else. This is the gift the government gives you. And he was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and they knew and just didn't care. It's fun for them that they're hurting people's children. Coming up at InfoWars.com. Don't forget the free podcast on InfoWars.com. Just click on the Listen radio page. It'll take you to the free podcast. Different ways to listen on your cell phone. It's all there at InfoWars.com. We also upload the live archive of this show from prisonplanet.tv that we stream live to the viewers and members. We post it archived in full at prisonplanet.tv. Dr. Doug Rocky is our guest, one of the world's leading experts on depleted uranium from the Pentagon when he was there. Again, coming up, we've got right at the start of the show, Judge Andrew Napolitano, Wolfgang Wodarg on the vaccine fraud, and Freeway Ricky Ross coming up in the retransmission. I think today was an amazing show. Great job to the crew. In the 4 minutes we've got left, Dr. Doug Rocky, give us some of the websites that have your research, the documents posted, the best place for people to visit who want to expose what's happening with DU. I mean, hell, they may start putting it in the drinking water like fluoride and saying it's good for us if we don't.
Well, probably the best website is grassrootspeace.org, GRASSROOTS. Peace, PEACE.org. That's Sonny Miller and Charlie Jenks. People used to be at Trap Rock until they got canned, and that website is maintained. The other one is with the Power Hour, and that goes to the Beyond Treason website and the whole documentary and video. You know, we've done a lot of documentaries and videos for it all over the thing. You know, we've done CBS 60 Minutes several times, the BBC, CNN, Nightline, Dateline. You know, but what happens, there's no long-term changes. Everybody kind of looks at it and then they ignore it because they don't want to deal with the hardcore reality that the United States Department of Defense in their effort to go to war has thoroughly contaminated air, water, and soil and food, resulting in incredible health and environmental.
And now
effects.
If they admit what they did was wrong, they'll have to give people treatment, so they'll just expand it.
And there is not enough money. I mean, we don't have enough money, so they continue on their merry way and totally disregard it. So the only thing we can do is to get the truth out, force medical care individually by thing with the actual reports, and talk to our senior leadership in Congress and the House and the Senate, talk to the president, and make these jerks change their attitudes and do what is right. But, you know, the probability of that is very low because it's all about making a buck.
I have a final question from the Twitter. It says, do you think DU is being used because it's effective at penetration or because it keeps on killing or both?
Everything, all of the above. You have to understand it's extraordinarily effective against all targets. And there's no armor targets left in Iraq and Afghanistan, Somalia or Yemen or the Balkans. They're shooting up houses and buildings and civilian cars and trucks that they could use a slingshot against.
Georgia. They used it in Georgia.
Oh, incredible. They used it out in all over the United States has had a problem. I mean, you know, Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. You know, we go down to Texas, all over down Texas. We go out to Utah. We go out to Nevada. I mean, I personally shot Nevada. All over the place. I personally did. It's just a total disregard. And then you have all the manufacturing sites, whether it's Albany, New York with National Lead, that, you know, it's been closed, but it's a total environmental disaster. StarMed at Concord, Massachusetts. You got Aerojet down at Johnstown, Tennessee. You've got Alliant up there in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul. They don't care. They don't care.
Unbelievable. But in Austin, they'll come arrest somebody if they cut down a cedar tree on their own property, and they'll arrest you if you accidentally throw a battery away in the trash. Again, they use this to control us, but anything really that's a serious threat, like genetic engineering, GMO, depleted uranium, HIV in the factor VIII shots, mercury in the vaccines, melamine in the milk. They say, hey, have your kids drink it. Melamine's no longer bad. Mercury in the corn syrup. Dr. Doug Rocky, God bless you. And thank God you're out there. This would be far worse. And we'll continue to track all the great work you're doing. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thank you, Alex. And God bless your whole staff for helping.
We tried. God bless the listeners. Great job, crew.